Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
.org/free.
Hello, friends. You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon. Winner of Emmys. Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother.
Uh-huh.
Look it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother.
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do it live on a Monday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Austin Ward coming up at 10:33. We'll blitz the weekend at 11 o'clock. Nate Davis on the NFL over the weekend. The draft is in the books. A lot of fun here on a Monday edition. My kids did not share the same enthusiasm for the start of the week that I did. I don't know if it's like many of yours. They are in the doldrums right now. I mean, I took NBC to school today, 15 minutes in, complained the entire time. Like, just sourpuss pissed the entire time to school. He's in sixth grade. He's dead. There's nothing fun about school anymore. There's no recess. There's not a fun class. There's not a fun anything. And so then I use that to tell him the stories of me in high school with my advanced PE class, which I took for four straight years. Every single semester did advanced PE, which was basically just mess around with the football coach. That's what we did. We just played sports, made sports up. And he was like, well, see, why can't I do that? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Things have changed. It sucks for you. And they're all that way. So they've got allergies. Are you guys getting crushed by the pollen stuff?
I don't recall ever getting affected by it too much, but I know, people, it's that time
I've
of
never
year.
Gotten bugged by it before, but I'm getting crushed. The kids are crushed. Reese, do you notice it?
No.
Any more than normal?
I notice it with those who I'm around that have allergies.
Man,
like yesterday going hiking was rough for some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's out there.
Also, this is an instance where the weather is so good that it's actually worse off for your kids because they're still stuck in school and they look outside and it's an 80-degree sunny day today.
Oh, God, yeah. It's all of the above. So I reminded him, like, I'm like, dude, you had a pretty good weekend. Like, we played lacrosse up in Sandusky all day Saturday. Sunday, kind of, he watched like 20 episodes of Arrested Development is for what I can tell from his phone. Cause like I caught up and he was like into season three. And then he and I played golf. Sad news for me. Like, he's going to beat me this summer. It's done. I mean, we played nine. I maybe got him by two or three strokes, but I mean, it's coming. It's definitely coming. But on the way in, he's complaining about all this. Beams, he was pissed off about having to go to school. He had allergies that were kind of bugging him. They were all just mad about everything. So on the way in, NBC goes, I said, well, this is about acquiring an education so you can aspire to things. He goes, well, what would you want me to aspire to? And I go, well, I don't know. Greatness. I don't know. Chase your dreams. And he goes, what? Like, do you want me to be president of the United States? And I said, well, okay, that would be something to aspire to if that would make you happy. I mean, it was very contentious. And then he goes, well, what does that job even make? And I said, I go, I don't know. I think it's like $300,000 or $400,000 a year. And he lets it go for a beat. And then he goes, to run America? I said, it's a valid point, I guess, that perhaps the presidential salary has not caught up to the rest of the world, and that maybe that ought to be about much more. So I said, well, what do you think would be like a good salary to run America? And he goes, 50 million? And I said, well, that's probably right. I mean, like,
that's guys still not running, even crazy high, though.
No, it honestly, like, 2
CEOs
billion or something.
Still make more than that. Yeah, like.
So then he's like, well, our GDP is 33 trillion, Dad. How the hell how are we running this on $400,000?
School is worth it.
Question.
Yeah. Maybe he's throwing out GDP to you as a sixth grader. Okay.
I go, do you know what GDP is? He goes, gross domestic product, Dad. Okay. All right. Fine. Yeah. So that was the way in today. So, I did see this. I did see this. I thought this was very funny in regard to the NFL draft. And maybe some of you saw it as well. So this was a grade of a recent draft, a recent draft pick. Okay. So I'm going to leave the name out. My hunch is you'll be able to sort out who it is, but the grade is a C minus. Okay. So the pick is a C minus. Here's the analysis of the pick by a draft guru. Calling fill in the blank a project is a major understatement. He's nowhere near ready to play in the NFL, and honestly, he may never be. Between his inconsistent accuracy due to poor mechanics, his tendency to bail from clean pockets, and his lack of field vision, he's going to leave as many big plays on the field as he creates. This was a risky pick.
That would be three-time Super Bowl champion Patrick Mahomes.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that great? That's Mahomes.
Talk about it. Yeah, freezing grade. Cold takes for that kind of stuff.
That's what you watch all these guys get picked, and we'll have some fun with it at 10 o'clock, but you see these grades and you see these jump to conclusions, and the reality of it is nobody knows anything. You just don't know. There's a billion factors that go into it. Really smart organizations get it wrong time and time again. There is no foolproof way. There is no sure thing. You just don't know. And I saw that over the weekend. I thought, God, that is great.
Yeah, the only picks that work in the NFL draft are the ones that, in hindsight, they worked out, and the player's good, and he fills the position that you were trying to get them to fill, and it was worth it to take them at that slot. But then that's even the other thing. Like, even when a guy becomes a player, well, if you used a top 10 pick on him and he's just merely a starter for you, that can be disappointing. So it's factoring in all that stuff, whereas you judge a guy who becomes a starter who you picked up in the sixth round on day three. That's great. That's extra on that. And so going into it, you just really never know where that's going to lie. And then you're just wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, they're wrong all the time.
At least, like, that's just part of it. That's why you get a lot of cracks at it. It's not just, hey, everybody gets to pick one guy. Hopefully he's a good player. You get seven chances at least, and, you know, hopefully, if you haven't traded all your picks, and you hope for the best there. But yeah, going into it, that's why I was talking about the scouts last week, where they were throwing out comparisons and they talk so confidently. And I was like, they have to get to that too. Like, I think they have to convince themselves that they are making the right pick, so they're not second guessing themselves all the way up until handing in the card. But I don't know, deep down, do they truly believe everything they say about a prospect, or is that part of the fooling process for themselves too?
Well, it's an ego thing, right? When you start to see, I guess, a prospect not flash as early as they're expected to, they go, well, no, I can't. You know, you stick with something longer than you should because you don't want to look like an idiot. And I think with guys in the first and even the second round, like, they just don't get any time to actually develop. They're just thrown into a situation where it's like, all right, here. Many and then if they struggle, it's like, oh, they must suck. It's like, well, that wasn't fair to begin with. None of this is fair, really, because they're being told where they have to go work. But the idea that you got to go, like Michael Penix, if Kirk Cousins can't go on his ankle the first couple weeks, then is it Penix's job? And is that really fair if they struggle? Because you threw a rookie quarterback who's an older rookie quarterback has also had his own injury history, goes out there and struggles, then he can't suck. But that's what you're going to say.
Yeah, it's you see this time and time again. I saw it firsthand in Cleveland. I mean, you fall in love with your own picks, right? Like, you keep waiting for Anthony Schwartz to do something, and you're like, well, we couldn't have been that wrong on it. We have to have been right. Like, we believe in our process, right? And so it elicits things like that, where a guy hangs around. Didn't they bring back Cade York?
Yeah, like, when I was on vacation.
I think, like, this spring,
to compete.
Hopkins is there, but, like, they brought back York, and it's like, wow, that went really off the rails.
That fourth round pick's got to hit.
It's got to hit. Sometime. Use a fourth on a kicker. It's got to go. That's got to be the way that it happens. So what did you guys take in most this weekend, sports-wise, if at all? Or did you take a break?
Well, Saturday I had the NBA playoffs on a lot on the second screen, but the games were really bad to start the day off, so they were kind of just in the background. And then the draft was always in the background for me as well. Yesterday I didn't tune into too much, though, I guess, now that I think back to it and look back.
Good. Yeah.
You can got the Cavs, whatever the hell that's worth.
Did they play?
I mean, they played for like a quarter. I played for a half, maybe.
Two games in a row, yeah, that they kind of pretended to just go out there and play.
One, when you say one game getting your ass kicked by 38, and it's like, well, it's just one game. And it's like, well, now what? It was Cavs Twitter was real quiet after that game. But the Guardians had a nice weekend in Atlanta, and that's all we'll talk about baseball. They lost two of three, but, you know, two of those three went to extra innings. Braves are probably the best team in baseball by a lot, and I'm still not sure where to go with the Guardians. Like, I know they're good, But yeah, for those asking, when can we jump into the Guardians? Like maybe give it a month because they got a lot of young guys hitting well early, and there's going to be a wall.
It's going to be June 15th. That's when they need to be in the mix.
I agree.
That's it. That's
I thought you were predicting that's when they're going to hit the wall. And
No. Well, it could be then too. Cool. But I mean, the problem is, I mean, their division is trash, and so they're going to win the division. Just they could win it right now. Like they've already clinched. They've clinched the division. But in terms of like being like a team of consequence, you'll know as you get closer to the deadline in the middle of the summer. I did on Friday night. My wife was like, you know, we haven't watched a movie in a long time. So we hopped onto Netflix and watched the Sidney Sweeney joint with the guy from Maverick.
Yeah, the and, Anyone But You.
Anyone But You. Yeah. So it was crazy watching it. So Coughlin from Cocktail is the dad, is one of the dads. And Dirty Steve from Young Guns is the other one of the dads. And I'm like, so they're playing like 70. And I'm going, I'm old now. Because these guys were formidable people in my youth. And those are two of my favorite characters, Dirty Steve and Young Guns and Coughlin from Cocktail. It was pretty damn enjoyable. It's on the Netflix now. It's fun. It's a fun little romantic comedy. I liked it. I thought there were some fun gags in it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, we liked it.
You did that, right?
Yeah, that's
you did that on the movie review, right?
We're doing
what did you grade it?
I didn't do a movie review here. We did it on the podcast because we are in search for the next great romantic comedy. So every time a new one comes out, we try to check it out and get it. So we watched that one a couple of weeks ago. It is actually based sort of like, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You is based on Taming of the Shrew, the Shakespeare play. This is based on Much Ado About Nothing. So
was it really?
Yeah. So when you go into it, it's all the like miscommunication or the like fake overhearing people and they're trying to trick people. It's like, oh, okay, I can see the like Shakespearean twist to this where they just modernize it up there. One problem I did have with the movie was you can't just use the helicopter rescue as your own personal taxi service across Australia.
That's true.
They do it once for a rescue and then later he's like, hey, just come get me guys and just drop me off here.
There was a new, I think the reason that she wanted to watch it is it got in the news last week that Sydney Sweeney basically used her social media to kind of manufacture of a fake affair between her. I think it's Glenn Powell, right?
Right. Yeah.
There was a lot of innuendo around it, but it was all nonsense. Like she just kind of
created it was just promotion for the movie.
It was all just promotion for the movie. And the thing ended up making like $300 million. So she crushed it. She's crushing it on that sense. My wife won. Glenn Powell's handsome dude. Sydney Sweeney, not too bad. Everybody wins in that sense. Who won in the draft? We will act like we know. We'll go. I think what you're looking for here and what we'll attempt to do with the Browns and the Bengals is, did you check the boxes that you needed to check? Not a lot of Buckeyes off the board. That will obviously change next year. One thing I noticed, a ton of Michigan guys, not just in this draft, but in the last four or five, secretly Harbaugh recruited and developed really, really well over the last couple of years. We'll get into all of it coming up next. We're off and running on a Monday. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bah, the meatloaf!
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Fellas, you remember that first time you failed to perform in the bedroom? Maybe laughed it off. The frustration, though, starts to set in, and then worse can happen. Distancing. Trouble in the relationship inevitably can lead to divorce, and it's very common, but there's help. And if you're among the millions of men out there suffering from erectile dysfunction, now's the time to do something about it. If you're tired of the frustration that comes with it, go see my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Give them a call today. So many men out there with a mediocre sex life or just good enough. Maybe you've tried pills, supplements, not working. If you could do better, you can. It could be much, much better. Tri-State Men's Health has treatments where the pills and herbals fail. They have treatment success rates well over 90%. Do yourself a favor. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health here in town today. Initial visit's $99. It includes a medical consult, licensed medical provider, a TNPSA test, and if you're medically advised, a test dose. And if that test dose doesn't work, guess what? The office visit's going to be free. It's a no-lose for you. It's a win-win. Give a call today. Get your sex life back on track. 800-900-9654 or visit tristatemenshealth.com today. I believe we had my call last week to the Browns in the second round of 54. That was kind of the one position for Cleveland where there's the opportunity to come in and make an impact. And Hall was somebody that it kind of felt like there was a possibility that he could be there. Look, we know what Mike can be at his best. He's absurdly twitchy. He's dominant. I was texting with Zagura over the weekend and he's like, well, what do you think about him? I'm like, dude, there were times when he was the best player on the field, period. Period. Like when I do the three things, like your table's ready, Mike Hall had a lot of tables, but then there were certain times when you didn't see him out there at all. So the ceiling is obviously very, very high. The twitch, all that. I said, you know what? It's kind of a little bit like Dewan Jones last year. Like he went a lot higher, but it was kind of like Dewan too. Like Dewan has, and we saw it when he got to the Browns, like this elite ceiling. And he lived up to it and they're betting on he can too. Andrew Berry was available over the weekend. They also landed first-team All-American Zach Zinter from Michigan, so they go middle of the line, both offense and defense. Here's Barry on that.
I think those two guys are going to add a lot to our locker room in different ways. You know, I think Mike with just his passion and his energy, and I think Zach's kind of the steady, you know, steady presence. But I'm looking forward to seeing those two battle it out on the practice field, you know, once we get the pads on. And they're both looking forward to being teammates.
Mike was available as well and was asked about the notion of staying in Ohio.
Being with my hometown team has just been a blessing come true. You know, it's the greatest feeling ever. You know, I feel like, I mean, everybody wants to stay home, but, you know, sometimes it's not a reality. But yeah, waking up this morning is an actual reality. Like, I mean, waking up as a Cleveland Brown, it's insane. I talked about this with my family, friends, since I was, you know, ever since I played football, you know, at the age of six.
I remember I did a bit for the 2016 NFL draft where I said the Browns should just take best available Buckeye at every pick.
Yeah.
Like, forget their board. Just do best available Buckeye. Reese, I think you may have even been on one of those shows with me. I was doing it up in Cleveland at the time, but I remember you were maybe in studio, but like, it was in the lead up to the draft, and I was like, just take best available Buckeye every pick, and you will be, because they couldn't hit anything at that point. You're coming off of drafts, Corey Coleman, all this nonsense. And forever, they never took Buckeyes. It was like Brian Rabisky, and then nobody, and now it's a bounty of them.
Well, and you would see Buckeyes that the Browns could take to places like Pittsburgh and succeed. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes, as with the case with Cam Hayward, they would succeed at the expense of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Like they would play really well against the Browns.
Bone, it's funny you bring that up because on Friday I was thinking about that because you brought up the theory before. I think even on this show we've gone back and looked at it, like who could they have taken in those years and instead of who they took and just take the best Buckeye. And it usually does prove out that, yeah, that would have been a better player for them. And I was worried that Mike Hall wouldn't be there and that with only having the 54th pick, there wasn't another Buckeye that was really grading out into that area. Could they even go with that? But the Browns got to go with it, and now they've got a good depth piece on the defensive line that you said is a little boomer bust that we saw the high end and what he can be early on in his career, and then it was a little confusing about snap counts and how much were we actually going to see him and where did Mike Hall go this game. But when he is playing to the top of his ability, he's a really, really solid defensive tackle.
I'd figured at least at 54 you'd have Chris Jenkins or Michael Hall available, and I was okay with both of them. Then the Bengals took Jenkins a couple picks early.
Right.
And then Hall was there for Cleveland. And it felt to me such a simple thing. And I'm just, we've done this now for a couple of years with Cleveland. Just take it's right there. Just take the simple thing. You know?
Yeah.
Don't think too hard about it. CJ Stroud had that perfectly. Like, don't be dumb.
Yeah. It's when you look at their, it's interesting when you think about where the Browns are and where the Bengals are, and we'll get to the Bengals coming up at 9:48, but where the Browns are, Hall
Zinter, I mean, it's like Andrew Berry's talking about an impact immediately. Not really, not unless there's injury for Zinter. Zinter will be about, he's a middle of the offensive line, so they're going to have Whipler will be the future planning at center. You're not going to, but Betonio is going into his 11th season. So this could be it for him. You cannot, either, even if it's not, whether it's Betonio or Teller, I would bet a lot that this is the last year that they're both with the Browns. You just can't pay interior offensive linemen. You can't have that type of salary wrapped in it. So the Browns are in this spot where they're kind of in the spot that Kansas City has been in. It's just that Kansas City's won Super Bowls the last 2 years in this spot because they have the guy who was a C-minus draft grade at quarterback. But the place they're at is we can't pay everybody. And right now they're paying a lot of people, so they need Mike Hall to play right away and be good. They need Zinter for future planning. The rest of this draft, like, I don't have any idea if the wide receiver out of Louisville is going to be a hit. What one thing we've known about them, and Andrew Berry crushes it on linebackers and secondary guys and offensive line, like, they crush that, but they do have a blind spot for drafting receivers. Cedric Tillman didn't show much in his first year. Now, they did land on Donovan Peoples-Jones, but Anthony Schwartz was a mess. So they need one of these guys to kind of go a little bit so they don't have to give up assets to sign other guys. They're banking on Jerry Jeudy being a dude. They need him to be probably their number one receiver next season because Amari Cooper's probably not going to be there. So this is kind of the spot that they're in. I was a little surprised they did not take a running back. I'll be honest with you.
Taking a running back throughout this entire draft, really. And good for the Browns, too, because you are finally through all the picks that were involved in the Deshaun Watson trade. That has become whole, so next year you'll have a first rounder. But, yeah, it kind of puts them in this situation where we talked about going into the second and third round on Friday that they have so much of their roster figured out and their roster is so good. So they're having to draft guys not only to be a backup contributor, but also probably in a couple of years, you will be a starter for us and to figure out that line for especially those first two picks that we were talking about the most here in Mike Hall and Zach Zinner.
Yeah, they need Mike to be a 6 to 8 year guy.
Yeah.
You know. There's no reason to think he can't be. I mean, it is, but you already talked about it being such a cool story because he was one of those guys that could have come back. And, you know, everybody else from that Ohio State defense did. But, you know, he had, I think it was a daughter. And so for his family, like, that's really cool that he gets to go home.
Stay home, man.
Right.
I mean, that's amazing. So him, Denzel, I mean, you're talking about there's just Cleveland kids, Cleveland area kids playing for the Browns. I mean, it's pretty damn cool thing to be able to do that.
And if he is a dude going in the second round means he's 1 year closer to a second contract.
For sure. Yeah, that's true. All right, we'll get to the Bengals draft coming up at 9:48. Go over kind of the weekend in the sports world coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
When that alarm clock goes off, morning juice comes on. The perfect way to dominate your day or just lay around the house. Morning juice.
Weekdays at 6.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Monday edition of the program. Changing of the guard in the NBA. It's kind of over for that Durant, Chris Paul, LeBron James group. They're done. I mean, LeBron, I mean, he's playing as well as you can. They did get a win in L.A. in Game 4 to at least get one more game so they weren't swept at home by the Nuggets for the second straight year. But the T-Wolves made short order of Minnesota. They're done. Or, I mean, of Phoenix. They're done. But I think the headline over the weekend for us was I just was not engaged in this Cavaliers series at
neither
all. They won the well said. I mean, you watch the first two games and you said, okay, well, let's wake me up when we get to Boston. Then we'll have a little fun with this thing and maybe get into it a little bit. How do you make sense of, so they were outscored yesterday in the third quarter. I don't know that I've ever seen this in a playoff game. This is a pivotal game three. They're up at half and they're outscored 37-10 in the third. That team with that firepower scored 10 points in the third. Reese,
did you watch this? Punked by the Wagners, yeah. Oh, I watched till about 2 minutes left because Tristan Thompson ended the game. And I'm like, ha, it's gotten that bad, huh?
Man.
And they just got punked by Orlando. Like, it was a chippy, competitive first half. Cleveland couldn't make anything from range, and despite that, they just kept junking up. And it's like, try to go inside, but physically, they were getting matched, and they were getting punked, and they just quit in the third quarter. They scored, 9 more points in the fourth quarter than they did in the third, but 29 points and a half is pathetic.
It's one of those things where it feels like they took it too far to the extreme of the idea of, hey, we won the first two games, we can bank some stuff, we can take it easy if this game's not going to work out with us. It's not like we haven't seen this in the NBA before, that the teams say, we're not going to win this one, let's save it for the next game. It's a 7-game series. Can't really do that 2 games in a row, and now it's a 2-2 series. So it completely flipped, and you're headed back to Cleveland. Is it going to be a scenario where only the home teams win, and we have to go all the way to a game 7? I don't know, because it was a completely different tale of two cities between it being played in Cleveland and being played in Orlando over these first 4 games.
Well, also, like, the games kind of suck.
Yeah.
You know, they're lopsided games.
Yeah, it's 2-2, but the games have all been
been garbage. Yeah, so that's been really tough. The NHL one I was most interested in was the Bruins and the Leafs. Austin Matthews dealing with sicknesses. So anytime that one's on, I'll paratroop in on that a little bit. I did see Paul Bissonnette on the pregame just eviscerate Mitch Marner. Like, crushed Marner. As
for what?
Strongly as I've seen effort.
Okay.
Effort. Like, called him out. Like, had video, had the receipts, and called him out. I've never seen it. Like, you rarely see it to that degree in other sports where you go at one guy, not that hard.
Former player on player.
Yeah. Like, player on player crime. Like, to go at the effort thing as strongly as he did was pretty wild to see. A couple other things in the sports world this morning. Boomer Esiason announced on his WFAN morning show just this morning that he is leaving the NFL today on CBS. He is going to continue to do his show in New York, his local radio show, but he's leaving the NFL today. He's been on that for a minute, and that's the cushiest job. Those are the cushiest jobs in the NFL, or that those pregame jobs.
Yeah, they've rotated in some guys over the years, but both the Fox one and the CBS one have been a core group of guys that have been the same since I was like a kid, since I was in like middle school. So you're right, that is a long time. I don't know what it is fully, but both of them are too large. So I would hope if Boomer's saying, I'm stepping away, one, it's probably because he only gets one sentence in a segment because 6 other people have to talk. And I would hope, don't replace him. Let Who's the group get a little smaller. It's too many people.
Thinking, like, who do you think is the franchise on that? Is it now Burleson? Nate Burleson? Is he kind of the
face of it all?
The meal ticket of it all on CBS? Because that's JB hosting. That's Cower. Phil Sims used to be Boomer. And Burleson's on that. Is there anybody else on that one that I'm missing?
Sims.
Strahan on the Fox one sometimes?
Yes. No, Strahan's on Fox all the time.
Strahan's Fox is what on CBS?
Maybe he went over there. Yeah, because it's Strahan, Jimmy, Bradshaw, Howie Long, sometimes Gronk. Like, the Fox one's got 110 people on it. It's way too many. So you get it. But, from a cushy job, they pay those guys big to do that. Like, that's one of the highest paid gigs in all of that. So the hierarchy would be, like, play-by-play guy, lead analyst, top of the food chain pay-wise. Then filling right under that would be studio show guys. They fall in right underneath that. So that's a big time paying gig to step away from on that side of things. Did see this morning as well from up in Cleveland. There was a meeting apparently, I'm not sure it was today or in the last couple of days, about the Browns' new stadium venture. Apparently the Browns brass met with state lawmakers about this Brook Park area, which is near the airport up there, if you're familiar, where they had purchased a bunch of land. And the according to the reporting being done up there, the plan calls for a domed stadium and a lifestyle, one of those, it's Jerry World type thing, right? Like, you build a stadium and then you build a bunch of stuff around it and you hope people come. They did that with the Patriots, in their situation as well. I'm very curious to see how it fits in because you're up there, you're right by the airport. I know that there's a certain faction of Browns fans who just feel like they have to play in the elements. I am not one of those people. I don't think you have to play in the elements of the North. Like, Detroit doesn't, Indy doesn't, Minnesota doesn't, Chicago's going to build a dome.
I just don't know, other than Buffalo, if you're going to see a new stadium built without a dome in the next 15 years. It just doesn't seem like there's any point to it.
No, I feel like the only other one that would hold on, and I don't, like, renovation-wise or anything, I don't think they're going to tear it down. But, like, Lambeau, they're always going to play outdoors up there in Green Bay as well. Like I said, I don't think they're going to tear down the stadium anytime soon either. But, yeah, that seems to be where the Browns are going. Do those little towns work? Like, Jerry Jones has made it work with Dallas, but that's kind of a whole different monster. Do you always want to base it off of that?
Reese? How would you describe it? Like, if you, in terms of...
You're putting the Ohio State Buckeyes in Pickerington.
Yeah.
The shoe is going to go all the way down 33. They'll go. I mean, it'll be on Sundays, it'll be packed. It'll be fine. I think the big thing for them, because I don't think we need to really make any more bones about the lakefront property. I think whatever is
done
in the past couple of days, or what has been done in the past couple of days, what's being done here this week, is they're doing the Brook Park development. They're going to try to make that, you know, a mini city, like Chop said. And I think at first you're going to get Brown Sundays, and then you're going to get nothing. And then if you can pull a WrestleMania, I think they've got SummerSlam in Cleveland, but if you can pull a WrestleMania, if you can pull whatever the equivalent of a Taylor Swift tour, if those can be in that Brook Park development, sure, you can build around it, but it's also the airport. So,
yeah, like
what I'm going to tell you, you're going to see your Ohio State Buckeyes play up there. And here's when you're going to see them. You're going to see them in the playoff. See them in the playoff.
Beats the Hoosier Dome, I guess.
Yeah. You're not going to play it in Indy. You're going to play those first round games. I mean, Gene said that last fall, like, talked about, hey, if we had a playoff game, it probably wouldn't be at Ohio Stadium in the middle of December. Like, we have a very fast athletic team. The best teams want the perfect conditions to play in. Like, we're not trying to muck it up. We're not Northwestern. So if you got to go on the road, we'll go 2 hours up 71 and we'll go play in that stadium. And the Browns would be thrilled for that. I think you're going to see that. I think you'll see Big Ten championship. They'll bid on a Big Ten championship game there too. I think that'll happen. I think you'll see a lot of those things. I think you'll see them potentially even do like a kickoff classic. Could you see a scenario where, you know, right now we do home and home with everything, but you know how, like, at Jerry World, they play like Arkansas against Texas A&M and those type of games. I think you'd see those type of games played
at Ohio State, Tennessee for the Haslams.
I mean, they just throw some of those night games on. Remember the Penn State, Michigan State game just got moved to Ford Field arbitrarily last year. Can you do something like that, especially with all the television partners that the Big Ten has now? I think that's there. The biggest, like, hurdle, I think, for those kind of places, because you guys are talking about all the events that they can bring there, and I think those would be very successful, but how can you get people to want to go there when it's not an event, and is it close enough or connected to anything? I'm thinking about when I, like, visited one of my friends down in Atlanta, and we went to that Battery Park where they built the new Braves Stadium. That was a really happening, cool area, but I feel like those work when it's closer to previous things and people can jump to the new hangout spot. And is that really going to be available in this Brook Park area? Is there any natural reason to be down there right now?
Other than the airport, it's pretty isolated.
I mean, it'll be a decade of developing, or them trying to develop, like, apartments and luxury townhomes there. I mean, you go stare at the Ferris wheel at the I-9 Center if you'd like. Something to do. I think they have the boat and RV show there once a year.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll thrive. We played some AAU basketball up there once. That was fun. I don't know. This will be the question for them. You asked sort of the right question. The right question is, can they make enough money on 25 dates a year to validate it? Because you're talking about NFL football, those special one-offs, the WrestleManias, the final. I mean, they'll bid on Final Fours. They'll bid on Super Bowls, honestly. All of it. Is it profitable enough that you can do that? My hunch is that they wouldn't do it unless they felt that it was. So that's the situation there. Down 71 South, you're not going to get a new stadium, a dome anytime soon, as we talked last week. But their roster is really good, and they added to it over the weekend. Take a look at the Bengals draft here from Zach Taylor on some of their picks. And, of course, as you can imagine, they love all of them. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's Ping Pong Game. The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
We were talking in the break. Chops was asking if I had prepared NBC for Arrested Development when it goes to the Netflix-made model. I hadn't. I forgot when it happened. You said season four is when they take over.
And yeah, there's a fourth and a fifth season that are Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah. And last night after golf, we were having dinner. And he just started telling Joe Bluth stories and was crying, just dying, laughing so hard. And I forgot, like, how direct Job can be.
Yeah.
With when he talks to Michael, like, how direct. So I watched one last night. It was like, I just blanked such and such. And I went, oh, I forgot about that. It did get me thinking, like, I don't know that show would get greenlit now. That would probably just be...
I wonder,
like,
what...
I just don't know if that show... I mean, because it pushes all of it.
Every envelope.
It's like Curb.
It would almost have to go, like, more dramedy network. Because, like, there's a lot of similarities between Arrested Development and Succession. But Succession obviously takes a much more serious tone. It's still very, very funny. But it's not, you know, just slapstick like that. So I wonder, like, conceptually, would they get to the same show nowadays, especially...
The innuendo is off the charts in it. The Tobias Funke stuff is so much. I mean, some of it's not even innuendo. It's just direct assault. But it's, no, it's awesome. It holds up. Like, if you're looking for a laugh, and they're easy. They're like 22 minutes.
Yeah, old network television. They fly right by.
Yeah. He watched a season and a half in a weekend. I guess that's what he was doing in his bedroom. I don't know. He's sixth grade. All things are in play.
That's bad. That's all he's doing in his bedroom. I think you're okay then.
It's okay. Yeah, that's probably all right. The Bengals, look, this is a classic Bengals draft in terms of play the hits. Go to the hit makers, right? Georgia, Michigan, Bama, Texas A&M, Iowa. I mean, look at where these guys come. Ole Miss twice, Miami. I mean, they go Power Five. They go big time. TCU. Every one of their guys is from those type of places. It's worked. They have drafted very, very well in recent years. This will mostly be about Amarius Mims when you have a first rounder and you draft a tackle. That is what it's going to be about. I love the Jenkins pick for them in the second round at D tackle. That feels like an opportunity where somebody fell, but he feels like he's going to be a dude for them for a very, very long time. Look, you're not going to hear from any general manager or coach who doesn't love their draft. They all love their drafts. To Reese's point earlier, even if it's not the real truth, they're all going to say that they do. Zach Taylor was available over the weekend and did talk a little bit about this draft in general. Let's have a listen.
Duke did a really good job of managing it, of you know, maybe just having the patience over the course of the draft to take oftentimes our best player out there that fit a position of need, and it worked out well for us. And so I think that his experience really kicks in there, and the experience in the room. And so it really paid off for us these last couple of days. And I'm really happy with how this thing played out. I think it allowed us to get much better in the short term and long term as well. We've got clear visions for all these guys that are walking in the door here. And so I think it's a really good class for us.
Similar position to the Browns, where they don't have to be drafting guys number ones right now, but hopefully they can develop into that. And I think the Browns and the Bengals both did this, but I mean, the Bengals had like 10 picks in this one. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend way into day three that I, you know, that was a great seventh round pick. But as far as like up until like Jermaine Burton, it doesn't feel like they had to reach at all because of where their roster's at, that they got to take a good player available at that time, regardless of position. And, not quite a steal or anything, but the Burton one is one that says, okay, like you said, play the hits. You go get a guy played that much receiver for Nick Saban down at Alabama, you're at least getting somebody who's going to come into the building and do things right, and I think is going to be a productive player for you. Can he be a star? Probably not, but that's not what you're drafting right now for the Bengals, because they have their stars already in place, and it's time to bolster that and hopefully build for the future for those other iterations around Joe Burrow, that they're starting to enter a second one now because of the whole T. Higgins thing, and what's that going to look like going forward?
Feels like gone are the days of the John Ross, what the hell kind of pick was that?
Yeah, they're too smart now.
For it's like, hey, here are your needs. We've addressed the needs, and now we're moving. I mean, drafting a tight end out of Iowa feels like a pretty good thing to do, especially if you can get somebody kind of in the later round.
Sure.
It's something I've always wanted to hear from a general manager, like post-draft, be like, well, I didn't like everything, but I got what I could. You know, that was fine, but I really wish I could have gotten this guy. I mean, I think it was Sean Payton was like, yeah, Sean Payton said he tricked somebody.
Oh, boy, he's going to be a senior.
He said he tricked the Vikings into trading up for J.J. McCarthy.
Like
they traded up one spot.
Like, did you, sir? Like, or did you, like, his own reality, probably he's the mastermind.
Isn't he going to be a scene? This year for them? Because they're going to be bad. And he walks around like he invented the sport.
Yeah, he's definitely like a 4D chess guy right now. That like everybody else is out here just toiling around. And I'm making all the deals like he's a marionette controller.
You know who kind of did that? He wasn't the coach, but it reminded me a little bit of like when Holmgren was in Cleveland. Do you remember that, Reese? When he was
he
just walking around like he invented
Mike Holmgren.
Football.
He'd cart around too.
Yeah, he kind of walked around like he invented the sport, like always talking about his
resume.
Thank
you, Mr. Holmgren, for being here for us was always the air I got from him. Was just like he's doing Cleveland a favor by just showing up to help to offer his wonderful football insights.
And then how did that work out for the Holmgren era?
I can't even remember. Well, so that was the end of Lerner. So then that was Lerner ownership to Haslam ownership. And I don't even remember if Holmgren lasted. I don't think he lasted a full year with Haslam's. He maybe got through that first season because they bought them. I can't remember when the purchase went through, but he didn't last long. It was quickly. They went because you want your own guy.
Well, that's the other thing with Payton.
But he was never there either. Like Sean Payton's going to have to be there. But he does. He walks around with this arrogance like he invented the sport. And you just go to yourself, well, like. You've got that Super Bowl with Breeze where you called the onside kick. Like, he's been eating dinner on that onside kick for 15 years in that Super Bowl against the Colts.
And I think it's fair to argue that actually Sean Payton and Drew Brees' era was underwhelming for them. That Drew Brees kinda like, broke a lot of records, but they didn't actually win all that much.
It's kind of like McCarthy with Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like, really? That's all you netted?
Because he'll still like one bite. He's currently the coach of the Cowboys. Oh, we got a Super Bowl winning quarterback or a Super Bowl winning coach, and it's like, well, do you or did you have a coach that only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers that entire time?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Sean Payton the first year in Denver wasn't even good.
Well, no, I mean, I would have thought that upon hiring, the idea was for him to go with Russell Wilson and make the most of that, and he ran him after 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be next going forward in a pretty tough spot. We'll go over some of the winners and losers of the NFL draft. All of those quarterbacks go in the first round, and that was a long, long wait for another one. Which one of them are in the best spot? Who are some of the losers in the draft? We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game, you've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Not interested in Iowa football? Too bad. Shops will tell you about it anyway. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Monday edition of the program. We talked about Boomer Esiason out at NFL today on CBS. Now Andrew Marchand with this. Matt Ryan is in. So Sims and Boomer are both out.
Okay.
They're both out. So no Phil Sims, no Boomer. Matt Ryan in. Those guys are how old? I mean, they got to be. Phil Sims has got to be he's got to be 60s at this point, right? I mean, he quarterbacked the Giants in the 80s. Boomer, too. I think Boomer's younger than Sims, but Sims has to be in his
60s. Sims is 68. Boomer is 63. Bill Cowher is 66, for that matter.
Yeah, you got to get You got to get a little younger.
Sims couldn't get his son in there, though. He's already, I guess he's doing all this stuff with NBC. Right. Yeah. That one has too many people, too. Sunday night, where they, when they do the picks on crazy. Sunday night, and they actually have to change the Chiron graphic halfway through to the second set of picks. It's like, that's too many people picking then.
I wonder, need to, with Sims and Esiason out at the NFL today, do you need to replace them with anybody? Like, how many times did you guys get up and like have one of those pregame shows on during your NFL Sundays?
No. Usually, the last like 15 minutes if I'm just like, oh, this is the channel I'm going to be on for this game starting soon.
No, never. But the problem is there's nowhere else to invest that revenue on those networks. There's still more watched than like the evening news. Right. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, it was Rather, Jennings, Brokaw. And those were the highest paid non-Jerry Seinfeld, Ted Danson people on network television were those guys. They're gone. Those jobs are evaporating. They still do it.
Who hosts
but nobody
the
watches
news?
It.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you any more who hosts the nightly news than I could tell you like NBA head coach. Like outside of like six NBA head coaches, I have no idea who half these people are. The guy from Oklahoma City won Coach of the Year. I've never heard of him.
That was you? News to you? No, I don't
have
know.
You heard of that guy?
You just said the guy from Oklahoma City. I don't know his name now that you say it that way. I know who.
No clue.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is and Chet Holmgren, because What a Pro Wants is just apparently has to be shared with us constantly throughout the playoffs and NCAA tournament.
They're trying their damnedest with those two. But what are you going to do if you're the NBA and you're going to have Minnesota and Oklahoma City both are going to be, well, one's already in, and isn't OKC up 3-0 on the Pelicans?
Yeah, they're taking control of that series.
So you're going to have Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Denver, and then what are you waiting on? Clippers or Mavs?
Yeah.
I don't even know if you care there. I mean, those are both better than the previous three. At least you get Los Angeles, sort of. Nobody in LA cares about the Clippers. But you get Luka and Kyrie.
Speaking of Clippers, so we just had Winning Time for the Lakers, and it was like, remember how cool the 80s were and Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. and look at how they built this. And now the Clippers are getting a show, and it's going to be on FX. It's called Clipped. It's about the whole Donald Sterling scandal and how he eventually got like pushed out. And I was like, man, that's so like Clippers and Lakers just in general, that they each get a TV show right around the same time. And one is about how awesome the Lakers were. The other one is about like just a completely embarrassing chapter for your franchise that has been mostly embarrassing chapters.
Well, and one of them is on HBO and the other's on FX. And I like plenty of FX's shows, but they're typically not on the same level. Although some of them have. I mean, they've done some very good ones through the years. I did see this as well. Peacock's numbers, huge quarter. Why? Well, because they had a playoff game. So they had and this is what this is about, guys. When you think about this stuff being farmed out to these streamers, this is working because they get the report back. All of a sudden, they have a record number of signups. You go, well, I wonder why in this quarter. Well, it's because you had Dolphins and Chiefs. And so that allows for it, so that's the win. So you will only see more of this. I saw news over the weekend about the NBA and the Prime deal that they're trying to work. It's a fascinating time in sports in terms of where you're going to use it and how you as an audience are being manipulated to prop up streaming services that are otherwise hanging in, right? Because not all of these are crushing it. They're not all Netflix. So they're otherwise hanging in, but they're using live sports to prop up those numbers. And that's an example of it working right there. So there's going to be much more of it.
I don't know what their next chase is going to be, because that's what it is. It's every quarter they want to say that we had subscriber growth.
Yes.
And so they look for something that kind of just artificially does it, like what you're talking about with that. And so sports does seem to be a good one right now to actually get new subscribers for a lot of these that have become stagnant as far as signups go. And so, yeah, you talk about the NBA on Prime, but like, where are all of these going to go, and how long until it's, you know, at least Peacock, it's like, okay, it's NBC. So like, we were aware that it existed. Like, how long until it's on one that you're just like, I've never even heard of this streaming service. And now it's where I have to go to watch Major League Baseball games or whatever it might be.
Yeah. That's coming. You need a lot of money behind you though. Will be the deal. So that'll be the kind of the trick of that. Gary tweeted us, why would you guys want the Buckeyes to lose the advantage of playing in a bad cold weather against Southern teams who would dominate, because they wouldn't be able to play in those type of conditions? This was in reference to the comments we're making about Browns Dome Stadium in a playoff game. Gary, well, first of all, Gary, on that, I truly believe that if you hook coaches up to lie detector test, if you have the most talent
You want pristine conditions. That's the first part of it. The second thing is I don't know that there's any proof out there that cold weather teams have a big advantage playing in the cold.
Packers, I mean, playoff games look Packers like they play, suck.
Well, not only that, they lose a lot of them.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, the
teams
Niners
from California.
Right. The Niners go up there and beat them. The Rams have beaten them up there. There was a brutal cold weather game in Cleveland around Christmas a couple of years ago where it was like 20 below. And I think
Browns lost to the Saints.
There? Yeah, the Saints came up there and won. I don't know that there's any proof that it being cold helps the home team. And the Bills have had cold playoff games, and I don't know that there's a big... I think sometimes just the best team wins, man.
And it's more about offering a better fan experience, like not having to bring cardboard for your feet so they don't freeze.
The other thing, too, with like the idea of like, oh, bring them up. Like, we all have that fantasy of let's make an SEC school come up here and have to play in the cold elements like we do. One, it doesn't really get that cold in regular season games in Ohio Stadium because you're done by the end of November. So they actually don't play in that all that often. And with the way that the recruiting has evolved over the years, it's not 60 Ohio kids on the roster anymore. It's kids from all over the country. So if you look at it from an individual standpoint, which players are acclimated to actually playing in the cold? I don't know. That can be random on every roster. And for Ohio State, the kids from Texas, the kids from Florida, the kids from California, they're not acclimated to it. Yeah, they've been here for a couple of years maybe, but that's not something that changes overnight for people.
Think of the last handful of blue chip quarterbacks Ohio State has recruited and got on campus. Justin Fields, Georgia, CJ Stroud, California, Quinn Ewers, Texas, Julian Sain, California, Air Nolan, Georgia.
You think those guys want to play in the
Where snow? Are they coming from, man? Yeah, they're not. They're not doing that. I mean, look at where our receivers come from. Like, it's a different time. And I mean, you're exactly right. The recruiting pool is smaller and smaller, or I'm sorry, bigger and bigger. And so much of it is coming from warm weather. And by the way, it's not us saying it as well. This was Gene. And I think he took a little heat from it when he said it. People are like, wait a second. You're not going to play a playoff game at Ohio Stadium. But he flat out said Indy that would probably make the most sense. So I'd rather play it in Ohio than Indianapolis. Shorter drive too.
Yeah.
Versus the other one. So it feels like a win-win across the board if that's the way that does happen. Matt, with this, what's worse, Sean Payton acting like he's a genius or the media members that push those stories and carry his water? I think it's the latter. Payton, Gruden, there's a couple of those guys out there that the media just that NFL media loves.
Yeah.
They just love the, like, Florio loves these guys and the insiders love these guys and the coaches on those shows love these guys. And he's absolutely one of those.
Obviously,
popped up a lot.
For this job, we read a lot of coverage. And so I end up reading a lot of articles. And I saw the headline of Sean Payton relishes that he tricked the Vikings into trading up.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I didn't even click on it. I was like, I don't need the further explanation. I don't need to hear what he had to say about how he tricked them into doing this. But yeah, you're right. The media will still just push it along because they're just some football guys that they really like.
They love them. Yeah, they love a football guy. Winners and losers from the NFL draft. Time will tell on all of this stuff, but that's not very fun sports talk radio. I think one thing that I've noticed, I'm curious if this will become a trend. There used to be this notion of we have to have a ton of picks. If you're on a good team, not, because there's not roster spots for them. So you want to kick tires on guys, but I've even seen some of this with the quarterbacks. I saw this with Sam Howell, and Sam Howell got like $250,000 guaranteed from Washington. That's a situation where you'd rather have the undrafted free agent. You get your guy, he gets to go to his team. These sixth, seventh, fifth round picks. Is there the value that there used to be in those, or will you rather have the quality at the top, especially for winning teams going forward? The big trend over the weekend, obviously, was the quarterbacks. That was a story in the first round, six of them in the first 12 picks, but then not until Spencer Rattler in the fifth round was another quarterback selected. And I did see the story over the weekend that kind of the consensus on Rattler is that people were scarred from that QB1 thing he did.
Yeah, like, I saw that as well.
Is that what it was? QB1?
Mm-hmm.
The thing on Amazon that... So I never seen any of that.
Those were all negative because wasn't Quinn Ewers in the same thing and like people didn't like him in it? Like, I feel like everybody...
Well, Justin was in one. I remember I had like a I had a cousin of mine in Seattle who had watched all of it, and she had texted me when we landed Justin Fields, and she was like, oh, you're going to love him. He's great, or something like that. And I'm like, oh, fantastic. I said, how do you know? And she goes, oh, he's on QB1. And she goes, something about Spencer Rattler, like, he is the biggest jerk ever. And Tate Martell was in
it. Tate Martell had it. That's who I was thinking of.
Tate was the other one that was like, this kid comes off as a jerk. And I didn't see it. I don't have any idea. But the idea that something that Rattler did as a 17-year-old, where it was given all access, would come back to haunt him. It's a cautionary tale, right? Of sometimes you can, as a parent, as the people around minors, sometimes no works. Sometimes no is okay. And you don't have to do everything. I have no idea if Rattler will be a good pro. I have no idea if he's what type of prospect. How would we? But the idea that something he did at 17 that's on tape being held against him now is a lot to wrap your head around.
From a draft presentation standpoint, I would like to throw this out, and you guys can disagree with me if you want. I don't think it's quite a hot take. It's only maybe approaching it, but the international pickers on day three are way more fun and interesting to me than when they bring out the legendary players on Friday night. Those guys just make it too much me show all the time. Like every third guy is just like up there talking, telling his life story.
How about the guy? I don't remember. It was it
the Vikings?
Was it James Stewart? I think it was James Stewart picked for Jacksonville. And he said, thoughts and prayers to my family. My sister died last night.
Jeez.
And then did the pick. I'm pretty sure it was James Stewart on Friday night. I was watching it. It was definitely Jacksonville. And it was a guy who played in Detroit. And he said, thoughts and prayers for my family. My sister died last night. And then he goes, let's go Jags Nation or whatever. What in the hell is going on?
Yeah, whereas the international ones, like, it's kind of fun. Like, I like thinking, like, well, what if I tried to give a pick for something in Spanish and was just doing my best? Because, like, some of the accents and the way they pronounce certain things. I liked how a few of them were just in luxury boxes at soccer games to announce the pick. It was like the pitch was right behind them. I like the international guys and, like, seeing this flair of, like, oh, these two guys in Germany's big Panthers fans. Awesome.
I didn't watch a minute of the draft on Saturday. And
me either.
Part of me kind of wished that. Well, so I was wondering going in if I would prefer the draft start Saturday at noon and that you just get round one Saturday at noon and then it just goes for the rest of the evening. But then I was like, no, because I don't want to waste my Saturday on this whole thing.
No, I like it better. I think Thursday night's money.
Thursday's great. That was a good
Thursday and Friday, that's great. Good. And Saturday's whatever.
Yeah, it's you can kind of push away from the keyboard on Saturday a little bit. I kind of paid attention to it. I was at lacrosse all day, but was watching on my phone a little bit when I could to kind of check out how the Ohio teams were picking, seeing where the Buckeyes would land. And but other than that, it was nice to be able to kind of have a break from it. Whereas if it was first, second rounds on Saturday, you would have had to been pretty locked into it. Michigan was a big winner in this. The Buckeyes with just four selected, but boy, that'll change next year and in the coming years. And my God, get the Tipico numbers on if you can get an over-under on Kansas City win total for next year. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart. I'm drunk right now. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here. And the playoff action is here. And there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year. The playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
The hockey and hoops action certainly heating up. Tipico Sportsbook, the best place to bet on all of the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made, and you continue to rack up the rewards. The highest cashback in the industry, up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100. Get a $100 bonus when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Reese, speaking of Tipico, where are we on Kansas City Chiefs? Do we have the
over? Not available per our friends at Tipico Sportsbook.
Not yet?
No. Right. Those will be something that comes out probably August.
Well, you want to see this?
Yeah, and you're going to want to see the home. I guess you want to see the schedule. Schedule release will be like next week, probably. Or
you
week
can
after.
Get action on the Brazil game right now between the Packers and Eagles.
Oh, there you go.
What's the line on that?
So Philly's a 1.5-point favorite.
There you go. Here's the reason I ask. So Kansas City's gone through this transition from Tyreek Hill to drafting all of these guys, and they've been able to win two Super Bowls because they have Mahomes and Kelsey and now a really good defense. Have you guys looked at what's happened in that division? Go ahead, Reese.
Well, I was just going to ask, when does the NFL schedule come out? Is that May?
In a couple weeks.
Okay, so that'll probably be first taste of totals.
They know who they're playing. They just don't know what the schedule looks like, but they know who they're playing. So it's either next week or the week after. The NFL usually kind of works it to where they always have content. Since the advent of the NFL Network, they always make sure that there's one bell cow thing. So they'll have mini camp and schedule reveal in May.
Yeah, and we've talked about that because, you know, we've spent some time lamenting how the Big Ten put together this first year with the new schools joining. And it's like, they didn't even do the schedule releases anything. It just, like, showed up one day. It was at, like, noon one day. I think it was on BTN at least,
but it wasn't exactly
a primetime show.
No, not at all. So Denver's going to be awful, right? They were kind of our pick to tank. The Chargers are kind of having to rebuild on the fly. Right. And they went tackle with their first pick as opposed to, like, aren't they more dangerous with Malik Nabers? Yes, is the answer. They would be. But they go tackle instead. And then the Raiders, they're going to roll it with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew.
Couldn't get a
That's
quarterback.
That's your quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They couldn't get one. They let it all go by and they didn't get one. And so they're going with O'Connell and Minshew next year for the Raiders. Like, how happy do we think, like, that roster's going to be with this operation?
I don't know what, like, this was even last year. It was a little bit unclear. Like, what are they trying to do? They picked up Garoppolo in the offseason, and then that never panned out with mostly injuries limiting his season. But I remember when they picked up Garoppolo, it was like, okay, but that's not going to be this much greater than Derek Carr, and you weren't really going anywhere previously with Derek Carr. So last year was kind of a punt year, and is this year finally them deciding to bottom out? But then that makes you nervous of, like, well, is this just Antonio Pierce? Is he one of those guys who's just in place to go 1-16 sure. and then you get a high pick and then you can get your quarterback next year? It's kind of what it feels like they're doing.
Max Crosby and Davante Adams, like, how thrilled are you going to be if you're those guys with that operation? So whatever the Chiefs over is, whatever the number is on the over-under, over. Well over. To me, they could go 13-4, acknowledging that they're going to have a tough out-of-conference schedule.
What would this be like?
Their conference is brutal.
Eight straight division championships for them?
I don't know. No end in sight, though. That's for sure. Michigan had themselves a nice draft. 13 players drafted in all. I did see somebody put up a graphic of, like, kind of the Michigan-Ohio State over the last 5 years, players drafted, and it's pretty much even. Harbaugh recruited really well. He developed really well. We talked so much about Stallions, and rightfully so, and Spygate and all of that stuff. But the reality is they had really good players, too. And so they had 13 guys drafted, just four Buckeyes. Marv, as we talked about last Friday, of course, going to Arizona. Still, I didn't see, you still can't get his jersey, right? Like, still no NFLPA deal for him?
Yeah, so he still hasn't signed that. I don't know who's going to be able to convince him if he didn't sign it in the pre-draft process or what his plan
strange.
Is with that. Yeah.
Mike Hall, as we mentioned, to Cleveland at 54. Then Cade Stover goes fourth round to the Houston Texans. Tommy Eichenberg, fifth round to the Raiders there. Undrafted free agent Xavier Johnson to the Bills. Steel Chambers, Lions. Josh Proctor, Jaguars. I like his chances. Matt Jones to the Dolphins. Mayan Williams so far is unsigned. Ohio State's four selections are the fewest they've had in a draft since 13, when it was Big Hank, Johnny Simon, Reed Fragel were the only Buckeyes drafted then. Michigan had the most. Texas was second with 11 in terms of total players drafted. So much of this is because everybody came back, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you would have had at least three more. I mean, JT, Jack, and Denzel all would have had it.
Possibly could have been drafted.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was four. Yeah, could have had upwards of 10. So they're all coming back. Next year will be a very, very big year for the draft. I was surprised when I saw how even Ohio State and Michigan were over the last 5 years, that those numbers were pretty, because I guess in my head, we've always recruited better than them. So you just would think that the numbers would kind of reflect that. But they actually were pretty similar. I'm going to find the tweet right now because it was kind of lined up. Here it is. Michigan versus Ohio State draft picks per year. So Michigan actually has more since 2017. 2024, 13 to 4. That's a big part of it. 2023, 9 to 6. 2022, 5, 6. Ohio State advantage. 2021, 10, 8. Ohio State advantage. 2020, 10, 10. A split. 19, it was 9, 5 us. 18, 7, 2 us. And 2017, 11, 7 them. So the moral of the story here is that the start of the Harbaugh era, they were widely underachieving.
And you know,
no longer, however,
you know what has happened over those years too, is the Power Five is starting to really eat up even more of the draft picks as, than yes. they had previously. I saw this from, Matt Brown, writes that Extra Points, newsletter about college football and the happenings going around. And he was saying that, compare some of these numbers from these draft versus Power 5 and non-Power 5 picks. In 2017, the NFL draft had 11 non-Power 5 picks in the first two rounds. In 2018, the draft had 12. Last year had two, and neither of them came in the first round. And this year, yeah, it was similar numbers. But like Michigan's 13 was more selections than the American, Conference USA, Mountain West, and MAC combined.
And don't you think that's probably portal?
I was just about to say, because the Florida State defensive end, he came from Western Michigan. I think actually Western Michigan had two guys that went in the top two rounds that portaled and then played defensive line somewhere else. So I do think the portal is a big deal with it. But look, I do think Michigan's done a really good job developing guys for the NFL.
Sure. Yeah, they have. Well, they got the proof
with what
they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's formidable. All right, coming up next, Austin Ward on the Buckeyes, their view in the draft, and we still have a day of portaling to be done. All pretty quiet on that front. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
News, opinions, and insight all before breakfast. Rise and shine with Morning Juice.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. More life, more energy.
And he joins on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, our good buddy Austin Ward, right here at The Fan. Of course, Rivals on the Dotting the I's, the podcast, among other places. Hey, buddy, have you had a story? Is there an instance? You know, because you get to know these kids so well. You get to know them when they're 18 years old, sometimes even before that. If you're Berm, he's known kids since they were 16. You get to know them in recruiting. Is there a favorite story of yours in the draft where you met somebody young, and then you followed them through, and then it all came home to roost, and it knocked it out of the park in the draft?
So my favorite one, there's been so many. I always enjoy when they get a chance to cap off their dreams that way. I mean, it's incredibly rewarding to see them grow up. The one that comes to mind, I think, the most for me, and it's not because it was like an underdog story or achieving a higher draft pick than maybe the recruiting ratings would have suggested. But I remember going down to do a story on Matthew Baldwin in his senior year at quarterback for Lake Travis. And mm-hmm. he got hurt in that state championship game with the knee injury. And there was, you know, his top wide receiver was a junior. He was also playing safety in that game. And I'm like, I feel like this is a name that I should know. And I asked Berm, like, is Garrett Wilson the guy that was on Lake Travis that Ohio State was also? Because he made a catch in that game that was exactly like the one that he wound up making in the Fiesta Bowl as a freshman. Mm-hmm. And I texted him, like, I'm pretty sure that's this guy, right? Like, doesn't Ohio State have interest in him? He's like, yeah. And so Matthew Baldwin, like, played two snaps in that game. But I was enamored by Garrett Wilson there. I talked to him for a little while after that game, went back down during his senior year at Lake Travis and spent some time with him and his family. So his journey and what he became, I thought was really cool. Obviously capped off by being a first rounder, but even like when he got here, it was a lot of that conversation with Brian Hartland. It's like, well, you guys all want him to be out there right away, but he has to be able to do this and that and be a complete receiver. And then he started doing those things by the midway point of his freshman year and obviously took off from there. But he was always like such an engaging kid. I loved, you know, tracking that progress and getting to know him and watching him mature in a variety of ways, physically, mentally, the whole deal. So when he got that pick and I kind of was talking to his family throughout that process and sort of knew where it was going to wind up for him that night, just like the anticipation of that was really cool. And I knew all the work that had gone into that. So there's a lot of examples like that, but sure, that's probably the first one that comes to mind for me.
You know, what's cool about that story is I've had these two and you can see it right away. Can't you? A lot of times, like if you have that, it's kind of like what we're doing, you know, with Jeremiah Smith, right? I mean, I had somebody last week who tried vigorously to get him to go to the University of Miami. And I was talking to him and he said, by the way, and I said this last week, and I know you know this, but just so our audience says, like, Jeremiah Smith turned down more money, like for sure.
Yes.
That is for sure. And because this was the right thing for him, but he's like, dude, he's Andre Johnson. Like the elite ones, you can see it.
Yeah, he's, and that's like, there were only, I don't know, 7 or 8 plays that Garrett made in that game that I saw. And I felt the same way. Berm and I were down at 14 months ago at a 7-on-7 in Miami. He's like, Jeremiah Smith is here. Like, you should just stand here, watch him play, and like hold the video camera on him the whole time. Even if the route's going the other way, just watch him. And it's like the way he moved was so different and special. But I still, like, even when it was Garrett Wilson coming up, I still tried to temper expectations. Like, I felt that way after watching him in high school. Be like, okay, well, it'll take some time before Ohio State's really ready. They trust him to do the full workload. And I've tried to do that with Jeremiah Smith, but I'm failing to do so because every time we saw him throughout spring camp, with the exception of the spring game when there were 80,000 people there, all the other four all had multiple highlight reel catches, the student appreciation day, open practice, and it was nuts. He was doing things so far ahead of schedule. But people have, whether that was Miami or Florida State or anybody else, like they've all known that for a long time and have tried to move, you know, financial heaven and earth to get him to do that. And Jeremiah Smith seems to have he's still getting paid very well to be at Ohio State. Let's not get that part twisted, but taking the single highest bid was not the priority for him because I think he knows that NFL contracts and second NFL contracts are going to be worth a lot more to him down the road than whatever Miami might have put up front or might still put up front for him, like through DMs right now with the portal open or in January when we go through this again. Like, that's the crazy part of college football anymore, to your point. But that is something that you can tell with these guys when they're generational talent, there's no mistaking it.
This has been kind of a quiet spring portal, hasn't it? Do you think that coaches are kind of getting this figure? I mean, it closes tomorrow. Do you think coaches are kind of getting this one figured out a little bit, or why do you think we haven't seen more?
Yeah, I think in the last, I mean, we've got 37 and a half hours to go here or so.
Yeah.
I would caution against thinking that this is done because now that you have the point of desperation to lure people back into the portal and a deadline to actually make that call. I don't know that Ohio State or anybody is fully out of the woods until you get to that deadline. Like, this is a wild time. The first day that the portal opens, I think, and then the last, you know, night and day and a half, I think, bring more of that. I do think that overall, up till now, the reason it's been quiet specific to Ohio State is they handled a lot of, you know, the conversations and the NIL topics and all that stuff in the January portal. And now you go through a spring. For Ohio State specific, there's a lot of guys who have bought into trying to win a national championship and that know that the NFL draft success and that the veterans sticking around, that was all done for a reason. I think that is part of it. And the other part is that I think as more of these guys see what happens to, I don't know, their their friends, their teammates, the older players who go in the portal, and see that not every situation where the grass is greener, the money isn't always there. You see that there aren't seats at the table for everybody once you get on. And also, you've now gone through spring practice. So what if you have to leave in the middle of this summer, you're not going to be able to really get out there and learn and train in the new playbook until August. And then you're trying to compete for a battle and play catch up against guys who may have been there for, if not just spring, years or multiple years in the same program. Like that is a daunting proposition. So I do think in this window, there's still been a ton of flurry across the country. There's a lot of it, and there always will be. But I think in terms of the big name, high end, impactful players, I think they've got a sharper idea that that's a more difficult and daunting proposition than you might think. And also, there's academic factors that are in play here for guys. You're seeing that now with Penny Boone. This is not as easy of a time to make that move for a variety of reasons. And I think for Ohio State specific, it's like most of this business has already been handled, but we'll see. Again, there's still a day and a half to go here, and desperation can lead to different results. We'll see if that works out or doesn't work out for Ohio State when the deadline comes.
Get you out of here on this one. You mentioned still a day and a half. Do you think that we will see a quarterback in the portal? And if not, scholarship-wise, can they have five? Did the numbers work?
Right now, the numbers work. I think... Devin Brown told Berm specifically, he was at the Elite 11 last week and said, I've got some time off, be back on May 12th. No, Will Howard's not going anywhere. Know that, both programs like Iowa and Wisconsin have been out there just hoping that Lincoln Kienholz decides to go into the transfer portal. I've tried to hedge my bets with you over the last couple weeks. I felt like it was trending, that it was more – like there was a legitimate possibility that all five would stay, in a way that in March I did not feel like going into spring camp that could happen at all. And I've kind of gone back and forth. I don't get the sense that right now that any of those five guys are unhappy with their situation or the way it's been described to them. And so, I guess I would tentatively place a wager right now that the quarterback room will stay together, and that if there's any more movement down the stretch, it would happen at potentially another position. But you can't take anything for granted. That's not something that I would say with 100% certainty, but I think that the odds favor it in a way that I would never have guessed 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Buddy, I'm never going to hold it against you if it goes the other way. You can't predict, never. The way that this is going now, you can't predict any of this. You know it, I know it. Anybody out there paying attention knows that anything can happen at any moment. Good stuff, right, as always, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, see you both.
All right, that's great friend Austin Ward right here at The Fan, dotting the I's as well. Thing or not a thing, coming up next, Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game, you've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First one today from friend of the program, Adam Teicher. Kansas City Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt said the team would look at options beyond renovating Arrowhead Stadium as it searches for a home beyond the expiration of its lease following the 2030 season. Said Hunt, quote, "We will approach it from a broader perspective going forward because this is short for us at this point, and so we need to see what other options are out there for us. When we started on this process 3 years ago, it felt like we had a very long time, a long runway with about 9.5 years left on our lease. We're now down to 6.5, and so I do feel very much of a sense of urgency. Arrowhead is a special place for our family and our fan base. That was one of the reasons that we focused on it with the last effort, but going forward, it may make more sense for us to be in a new stadium," end quote. They obviously rejected the sales tax measure in Jackson County a couple of weeks ago. We talked about that. Options for a stadium for the Chiefs elsewhere in the Kansas City area include building on the Kansas side of the state line. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's all a huge thing. Clark Hunt's and the Hunt family net worth is $24.5 billion. So you're not going to get much in terms of, I would think, you're not going to get much fan or I'm sorry, much state money there when it comes to taxes. I do think one thing that a lot of these, it depends on who gets the word out first, right? Like if you say this is going to cost $2 billion to taxpayers, or if you say this is going to increase your taxes by $1.80 a year, which one do you notice? So, or whatever the number is, it's usually a minimal tax thing per year on usually a sin tax or something like that that they tend to do it with. I think all is in play. I think I wonder if the Bills will be the last one that's like a 50-50. The Bears weren't even as audacious as saying that's going to be 50-50. Looks like the Browns aren't going to be anywhere near 50-50. The one in LA was done entirely privately. So I think the one that happened in Buffalo is probably the last of its kind. So I think they're going to go for the best possible place to build it. Let's see, you're 6 years from Mahomes. So he's in his early to mid 30s at that point. So that would
I believe
be the
it
time.
Was a ticket tax they were going for in Kansas City. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it is a thing. And I think it's a good thing that we're going to start to see these billionaires pay for your own stadium. If you want it, it's not coming from taxpayers. So that I think Kansas, the Royals are trying to do something as well where they're trying to.
It was on the same. Yeah, that was the same vote.
They were together, right?
Because the Royals aren't worth anything. Like at least the Chiefs are winning Super Bowls. The Royals are going to finish last in the worst division in baseball again. We've talked about.
Would you rather have been a Royals or Indians Guardians fan in your life? One World Series win or a bunch of relevancy?
It's probably the relevancy.
It's tough.
It is.
Yeah, you're always with the Guardians Indians. You're always in an at
you're
bat.
Always in it.
You're always getting at bat. You're in it. But the Royals did have the 2 year window where they played for it and then won it.
I think it's the relevancy, though. Yeah, I mean, it causes more heartbreak, but you actually get to enjoy it over those years instead of just one season where you're good.
I'm good looking forward to a season. So continuing our baseball conversation, we've talked about how their new Nike Vapor Premier uniforms have just been an overall disaster. And over the weekend, the MLBPA released a memo addressing uniform complaints. ESPN's Jeff Passan had the initial report that the memo was sent. The union assuring players the league will remedy the uniform issues by the start of the 25 season at the very latest. The union's memo is blaming Nike for unnecessarily trying to innovate. Quote, this has been entirely a Nike issue at its core. What has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated. Of course, Nike designed the uniforms. Fanatics just manufactured them. Thing or not a thing?
That's the part I'm interested in. So Nike designed them, but who picked the fabric? Because it's a fabric issue, right, Reese? That's the deal? Like the way that it's a fabric issue,
it's the fabric issue. There's
printing
some,
and such.
Some one of the design things, flaws.
Yeah, they want to fix the names, like the name cards on the back. The number or the letters are too tiny, that kind of stuff, but... It's the sheerness of some of the fabrics. The grays don't match top and bottoms. And then the sweat, especially in the gray uniforms, is just really catching and showing a lot of pit stain type stuff for guys.
Yeah, I mean, we see that when the Buckeyes wear the gray on the hoops, right?
Yeah.
Like that whatever the Nike gray just doesn't, it doesn't seem to work when it comes
which,
to that.
Which, if that's Nike, how is that? How are you failing at that?
It's a great question. I don't know if it's... So I have a higher approval rating of Nike than I do Fanatics. So I want to shift the blame to Fanatics versus Nike. But I think both are probably culpable.
I keep going back to my slight conspiracy theory where like I think they're just tag teaming it and they'll just take each time I'll take the rap for this one or you can push it back on me and we'll just keep so then nobody knows who to be mad at and then hopefully people are less mad at each company individually. But
sure.
As far as this goes from like the union, it's one of those things where I guess, they're going after Nike. Nike was, you know, they were asked to innovate something that didn't need to be innovated. And it's like, yeah, but were they asked? Like, did Nike take that from Major League Baseball? It's like, hey, we actually want these to be a little bit more athletic, a little bit more moisture wicking, some of that dry fit material that you guys love to use. And they said, okay, we'll just do that. And now, again, this blame is just being passed all around, but it doesn't change the fact that Major League Baseball does not have uniforms that are up to par for them.
They were all approved by Major League Baseball,
right?
By the way,
Like they
some of the players are even like, yeah, these are great, the Nike athletes.
Yeah, well, but also like the, I mean, the other ones were pretty heavy. I mean, it was a full polyester heavy. Like you put on one of those Majestic ones, you wear them in the summer. That's there's a lot of heat to that. So I understand why they wanted more breathable. It's like Costanza with the wool. Didn't Costanza try doing a wool or cotton one when he's working for the Yankees?
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit too much for you. Not long after he was drafted by the Chicago Bears with the 122nd pick, former Iowa punter Torrey Taylor received a congratulatory text from his new quarterback that came with a proclamation. Taylor told reporters Saturday, quote, Caleb Williams just texted me before saying, hey, you're not going to punt too much here, which is great. That was pretty funny. End quote. Thing or not a thing?
Oh, it's a funny thing. It seems like Caleb Williams is, for all of the lead-up consternation about how he would fit, feels like he's fitting like a glove in Chicago. I mean, hell, I was listening to Mike on Friday. It was him and Timmy were on, and Mike's all in. Playoffs.
All right.
Year one. Bears.
He's, all, so
he's ready to go. So, yeah, that Caleb is in a pretty damn good spot with Chicago, which is something that's never been said about a quarterback.
Yeah, it still feels weird to hear you say. I mean, it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
That with the Bears actually had a competent draft, or at least coming out of it. So 72 hours later, it feels like, okay, this is something here. I don't know about playoffs, but the Bears look to have something to win, at least when they move into that new stadium, like it could be a legitimate NFL franchise.
And Bo, you talked about that lead up and some of the conversation around Caleb Williams and like, oh, is it going to be the right fit? And some of the things
pink
that people
nails,
were pointing
pink
out.
Phone.
One of the ones people were pointing out was when they went to all the like first round guys that were in Detroit, they went the day before Thursday on Wednesday, the day before the first round and like hung out with some Special Olympics athletes and did like a little training thing with them and some drills and stuff. And he was wearing a different sweatsuit than what all the other prospects were wearing, at least seemingly from the pictures, but it was still an NFL draft sweatsuit. So when people were like, oh, he thinks he's an individual, he's not going to wear the same, he's too good to wear the same thing everybody else is wearing. And it's like, he's still just wearing random stuff the NFL gave all these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. No, he's in it. You could argue that Justin Fields and the mishandling of that led to the Bears being the best shape they've been as a franchise since the 85 Bears. I mean, it kind of looks that way. We'll blitz the weekend coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
Dusty May's killing it, isn't he? That's a lot. I mean, that's they've been active in the portal. As Austin, I mean, the football, all the portal, it all closes in a little over 30 hours from now. And this weekend was a huge one on the basketball side. I saw a lot of guys kind of making the rounds, final trips. I was always curious, just because we were down there, the kind of the Calipari effect at Arkansas. Like, could he reel those kids over, the Kentucky kids he wanted, the classes coming over? Looks like he's gotten some of the recruiting kids to follow him to Arkansas. And then conversely, what would be left of Pope? We're dealing with it here with Jake. Like, you're trying to put a roster together on the fly in the portal in true free agency. And you have this same thing happening with Dusty May, who is long rumored to be kind of the other guy, the apple of Ross Bjork's eye. They go with Jake. Everyone's a fan of that. It's working. Let's see. But now you have to go get a roster. And so it's a fascinating time in the sport. I'm not sure that anybody would say if you love it or not, but at the very least, you cannot argue that it's not interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sean. And all the while the kids have figured out that they can play their leverage both ways, especially with what the NBA offers, where you can go through the whole draft process. Now, this guy transferring up to Michigan has decided to pull out of the NBA draft and just go up there. But it'll be really interesting to see like what happens once guys get kind of their grades and what they need to work on. And those who have both entered the draft and the portal, where do they end up if they decide the draft isn't quite the right route for them yet? And so there's going to be like another run on it, I feel like, of guys transferring and moving once we see that draft stuff start to play out.
It's also wild how
you think about the academic part of this, and there was, you know, because they are still playing school to a certain extent. But almost all of these athletes are almost all entirely online classes. Like almost none of them, most of their classes, football, basketball, like it's online. So I don't even know what that means. I mean, I know what online is, but I don't even like, how do you take it? Like an online class? Did you guys ever take an online class? Did you ever?
Yeah, I definitely did. It's a lot of, usually it's like a lecture online. It depends. Sometimes there's like videos with it, and then it's, and then it's just stuff you got to turn in throughout the semester. So it's just a little bit different of a makeup for it. But then generally there was still like a test. So you'd have like a midterm and a final, and those would be in real locations that you'd have to go to.
You'd have to show up?
Yes.
For those?
Yeah, okay. But I was an athlete, so I don't know for sure what their deal is.
Who knows if they have to or not.
I hated online classes. This was like when they were first starting to become a prevalent thing. And sure, you would have, you know, professors from the other side of campus, like trying, everybody's had those bad Zoom meetings, you know, again, since the pandemic, where like the person's face is like at an awkward angle and really close to the camera. And that would usually be the professor during like an hour long lecture. And so I found myself never being able to listen to those things. And the homework and test was easier because you could cheat.
Sure.
And so I preferred the in-person classes because it forced me to actually pay attention and show up.
Yeah. I feel like I would be distracted quite easily in an online class.
But now it feels like online schoolwork for college, high schools and colleges is just the norm.
I told you guys this week when we stumbled into the topic of like kids with lockers, and I'm like, they don't have anything in their, it's just a Chromebook.
They carry that to each class, so they don't need to ever put it away.
They're out all day. They're not dropping off books. Like they're doing it. Yeah, so, all right, let's blitz the weekend.
Bishop and Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
I believe I had that. What did you have, Reese?
I actually think on Friday I said the Browns should take Zach Zinter.
You think you did?
We had talked about Browns' needs, and while like ESPN and CBS didn't have offensive line, interior offensive linemen as a need for the Browns now, in the next couple of seasons, Bo, you brought this up, just the ages and the injury histories of some of the guys on the Browns' offensive front. And I thought to myself, yes, get a guy from a Joe Moore award-winning offensive line in Zach Zinter, but while making the joke for NBC, get used to actually rooting for Michigan players, because if they're available, take them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, no, because you did say that, because I remember I accused you of being a secret Michigan defector, because you also said the defensive lineman who the Bengals ended up with, Trey, what's his name?
Chris Jenkins.
Chris Jenkins. The Browns could have also taken him at 54, but yeah.
Well, didn't he go off the board
first?
On Friday we could have gone Michigan.
I thought at 54, the Browns could have a good shot at least, if not Mike Hall, then Chris Jenkins. Yeah. But in like the third or fourth round, I said probably Zach Zinter would be an okie dokie pick for me.
Yeah, I believe I had this. The tree branch was in the way, so I'm not bad at cornhole. I just couldn't get the right angle. I had some friends over. We were playing cornhole. I had not played in a very long time, and so I was definitely out of practice. But when I tried to go more arc, I kept hitting this tree branch, and so I couldn't. And I was trying to go lower, but that way, and then it was coming in too hot and just sliding right off the board. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I keep hitting the tree branch, and they were like, you're just making excuses. Lo and behold, another game starts because I lost. I was off the boards. Another game starts. 2 minutes into it, they come into the garage and we're like, do you have any clippers or something? We got to cut down a piece of this tree branch. See, you guys, it was in the way.
It was the branch all along for young Chopper. I think it's been a while ago, but I had my call to the Browns. I knew that was apple of their eye, certainly. I didn't know if he'd get there initially, but I know I said it specifically last week many times, and probably in the lead up over the last month many times, that if ever there was a guy that would be the perfect fit for them and what they were looking for, that would be the one, and that came to fruition on Friday night with Mike Hall ending up with his hometown Browns at the 54th pick overall. What didn't you have, Reese?
I'd said directly after the spring game, I thought either Lincoln Keenholz or Aaron Noland would be in the portal. There's still some time, but it looks like I was wrong about that one. And in fact, they could have five in fall camp.
We still have some time, but isn't that something? That's why I asked Austin about the numbers. Like, you still have a scholarship limit. I know they can get around it with NIL, but man, can you have five? Guess we'll find out.
We've talked about this a lot, the idea of like, hey, the super team era in the NBA, maybe it's coming to an end, but I didn't think it would be something where we could really just watch it like fall apart right in front of us with our own eyes. And, you know, we've seen it with the Lakers as well, but the Suns are the most recent example of still trying to do this. And Kevin Durant has now tried to do it three different times, one time successful in Golden State, two times, I mean, a disaster in Brooklyn, and just okay with the Suns, but obviously not winning the championship. They got swept. They were, the Suns in this series against the Wolves, minus 51 when Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal shared the floor, according to ESPN stats and info. That is the worst plus minus for any trio this postseason. So those are the three guys that you built the super team around, and it just completely faltered. And then it was the future is now, old man, when Anthony Edwards just went above Kevin Durant for that dunk in the fourth quarter. And, yep, that's the difference, changing of the guard.
Yeah, it is, and it like the luxury tax that Ishbia paid on that for all those guys, brutal. I did not have Bootsy getting punched in the face waiting to go in on a midi line in lacrosse this weekend by one of his own teammates, but that happened. Now, I wasn't there. The blonde was there. I was up at I was up in Sandusky. She witnessed it. It happened. The kid who did it was like the coach's kid. Coach is horrified, all of it. But dude got punched in the face. I've never seen that in all my years of youth sports with your own teammate. He's eight.
Was this a real bare knuckle punch or was this glove to helmet
it was a
punch?
Glove to helmet, but the way that it worked, the helmet, the bars of the helmet hit the face.
Mm.
So it was, which caused a bloody nose. So he was, needless to say, that it resulted in a trip to Target and probably some stuffies.
Is that his first lacrosse injury, I guess?
That's the first lacrosse injury for any of them that it was. Player on player crime, teammate on teammate crime. Player who impressed the most, Reese. Who do you got?
Guardians left fielder. Excuse me, Stephen Kwan. He was pretty terrific. They lost two of three, but the Braves are really good. He had a first inning home run in Friday's loss. He stole home in the eighth inning Saturday in their 11th inning win and an RBI single, which they should have won Sunday. The bullpen blew it late, but Kwan has been terrific this season.
Dorian Jones had two tries and 11 total points for NOLA Gold. They started off down 5-0, but they rallied to beat the worst team in Major League Rugby this year. Anthem RC Carolina 40-5. Dorian Jones leading all of the scoring there. And there is your NOLA Gold update for the week.
Well, we've been waiting for it. Anthony Edwards. We'd asked the question many times the last 18 months, like American-born star. He's hit. That's the answer to the question. He's got everything that you want. He's an absolute super.
He says no right now. He does.
No, he can say it all he wants.
He doesn't get to decide anymore.
Yeah. He's done. Player who disappointed, Reese.
The Cleveland Cavaliers. All of them. Every single player. I don't, at this point, lose the next two and just be done with it. And then Donovan Mitchell can go in the summer and then get rid of Bickerstaff, next week? This team stinks, man.
Yeah, I went specifically with Donovan Mitchell on this one. Scored 13 and 18 in those two blowout losses down in Orlando over the last few days. He's got to be bigger in those games. Like, you can't go out there and drop just 13 and 18, and you just hope, I don't know, maybe with Reese or you're just done with him, but that this isn't just a sign that he's just given up and is ready to get his way out of Cleveland, but it kind of feels like that's where we're headed.
Well, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Garland and Mobley. Like, there was a time 2 or 3 years ago where you looked at those two and said, that's it. Like, this is before Mitchell got there. Like, Garland appeared to be on the ascent of one of the best young point guards in the league. Mobley was, I remember Bill Simmons doing like, you can't trade him, and Mobley was in the top 10 in the league of you can't trade him. Neither one's developed. Neither one are dudes. They kind of just float through games, and I don't know if, like, in retrospect, did, like, the Mitchell acquisition, like, retard their growth? I'm not sure. They aren't what they were supposed to be. So, yes, Mitchell hasn't been great, but they're not picking up any slack either. Really, would not have had that 3 years ago. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week.
I'm going to give it to T-Wolves head coach Chris Finch. They sweep Phoenix, and then if you saw, like, late in the game, he got Mike Conley, actually, and Devin Booker were going for a ball, and he got run into, but both of them collided with him on the sideline. He ruptured his patella. So yeah. I think he's day-to-day.
That's I had Chris Finch down as well. Great name on that guy. Wow, that's really nice for him. But yeah, just the fact that they get the sweep, but he also tears his patellar tendon and Mike Conley runs into him. Not a great day, but overall I think it's good. And they said he was in high spirits because I think he was just happy to get the victory. Now he's supposed to have surgery in between rounds, and we'll see what he looks like on the sideline for the rest of their playoff run.
One of the despicable things that happens in youth sports is you have, there's A teams, B teams, right? So what will happen, we have these lacrosse tournaments every weekend. So this weekend we're up in Sandusky, and there were teams that are A teams playing in the B team bracket and I call that trying to hang an NIT banner is the idea, right? So you go beat up on younger kids or kids who aren't as good, and that's the idea. So one of the teams that got beat up on that was one of our split teams, a 5-6 split team got beat up by an A team, right? So this week we're hosting the big tournament, and my Bud Kilmer Honorary Coach of the Week goes to the head coach of the 5-6 team, who's also the director of the whole program. The team that bludgeoned them, his 5-6 team, is getting the 6th grade A team in the first game on Saturday.
Good luck.
A little bit of retribution. Retribution coming. Revenge will be served cold. That's a good job. Play in the division you're supposed to. Knock it off trying to hang NIT banners against young kids. It's stupid and gross.
How often are fights fought between scheduling decisions?
A lot. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. There was fisticuffs in a game on Sunday. Not fisticuffs, but pretty pushy shovey between. I mean, it's just youth sports, man.
Yeah.
Buckle in. Just buckle in. Roger Goodell saying the quiet part out loud. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio sports destiny.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here. And the playoff action is here. And there isn't a more rewarding sports book in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year. The playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we're sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, fast, sustainable weight loss without medication. Solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Roger Goodell on with Pat McAfee. Scheduling is the topic of the day. Let's have a listen.
I think we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. I don't think we need
preseason. Waste of time, right? And energy?
I don't buy it, and I don't think these guys like it either.
Well, they have to spend full price for the tickets for those games.
No, they're actually discounted now. So
thank you for doing that.
We got
thank
that
you,
done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our commitment.
That's our commitment.
Thank you. Commitment.
But the reality is, I think I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season any day. That's just picking quality, right? So if we got to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. The other thing it does, which I thought you were going to, is that ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a 3-day weekend, which makes the Sunday night, and then you have Monday off. So,
well, at the very least, we know that the owners want these things. If Roger Goodell's going to go out there and say it on McAfee.
So first of all, the 18 is a formality.
Yeah.
That's 100% happening. The two he's referring to are the two byes. So you'll have 18 games, then you'll have two bye weeks that are built into that. That will get you to President's Day weekend. Just wrap your head around that. Now we're talking about middle of February Super Bowl. I'm an age, certainly when I remember a third week of January type Super Bowl. So this is middle of February is what this is going to be. Excuse me. Allergies. Yeah. Held it off. I'm telling you. I've never been affected like this.
It just sneaks up on you and gets you.
It does. Yeah. It just gets me. So that's what, here's the better solution. I think what I would be a fan of. And you hear the fans cheering there. Cause why? Cause they're saying, well, we got 18 regular season games. That's more games that matter. How in the blue hell are athletes going to get through those games? Are you going to have load maintenance? How are you going to be healthy relatively? These guys are beaten to a pulp. Week in, week out, and now you're adding two more games on top of it. He's right. Nobody wants preseason games. That's fine. If you want to do one for the roster building when they go from, 80 down to 50, fine. You could probably do that and that would be suffice. But to me, less would be more.
you could still get to President's Day if you wanted to. Maybe go 16 games and have three bye weeks in it if you're trying to stretch it out that far. But the notion that you need to play 18 games in that league where the physicality is what the physicality is, fans think that they would win, but I don't know if they would because I don't think the product's going to be what you think it is.
Because, yeah, I mean, think about all those later season games where we get even in primetime slots where it's just like, this just doesn't look right. And if you're talking about guys getting more injuries, so yeah, maybe you could increase the roster, but that still doesn't really help the high-end players staying healthy through a longer season like that. And so if the quality of the games are going down, do we really care about an extra couple of weeks of the regular season? And then what is the NFLPA going to get back in return? Because they always have to trade something
There's
off.
The winners, get back.
Yeah, the winners are always the owners. They always get what they want, but they say, okay, we'll give you something. And I also wonder, too, who's going to be the first agent if it gets to 18 or when it gets to 18 to say, my client is actually making the most per game of any NFL, you know, because like that's going to be another factor. They get paid for the game in the NFL. And so if you go up to 18, all of a sudden, oh, those contracts that we have always kind of held on the same thing. It's sort of like the records that it's not as much money to make $50 million a year when you're being asked to play 18 regular season games as a quarterback.
So the current CBA runs through the 2030 season. Is that when we see this 18 game come about? 18th game, or it becomes earlier than that, you think?
I think it'll be sooner. I think his give back is no preseason games, but the problem is,
can you just expand rosters?
Yeah, here's the problem. If you're J.C. Treader, I think still the president of the NFLPA, former Browns center, the thing that makes this so difficult is when he's representing the NFL players, he's representing Patrick Mahomes and a practice squad guy. How do you properly work all of that out? Take it even a step further. He's representing his buddy, Joel Bitonio, who's beaten up and has had knees and all of these injuries that he's had. And he knows, JC would know absolutely the physical toll that a NFL game and a season takes on the human body. And he's also representing a practice squad guy. So the practice squad guy is saying, I need more money to make this work. And they've done that. They've increased that a great deal. The practice squad guy you're fighting for the preseason games. Why? Because that's an opportunity to showcase for the rest of the league as much as it is for your own team, what you're capable of. So there's a big part of that why they like the preseason games. But then Joel Bitonio, his buddy's going, dude, I'm not playing 17 games. I'm 18. You're telling me I got to do this again. I got to do another one of these. So what will the give back be? It will be the preseason games, but that's why this is such a tough thing for the NFLPA to kind of navigate, because you're answering to too many different masters that want totally different things, whereas ownership is completely aligned. They all want the same thing, more money.
The other thing to keep an eye on, though, with that kind of stuff, too, is every time that there is a switch like this, and we've seen it in the college football game, and the NFL does the same things because they wanted to get rid of, all the huge guaranteed money for the first round picks. They're getting too much. Let's make it so that the money should be more spread out to the veteran players. But instead, all the NFL teams, because it is such an openly competitive league, and that's the point. They're trying to go out there and beat the other team. They all immediately said, well, now I can just pay my quarterback and have a bunch of rookie deals, or I can have a quarterback on a rookie deal and pay a bunch of other guys, but also I'm going to, on the back end of the roster, not do the veterans and instead do the cheaper, younger players. And so that's what happens to rosters. So if they did do something and one of the givebacks was extending going up from the 53-man roster to 60 or whatever the number might be, how long until that is more or less used to keep guys off of other teams' rosters rather than actually building your own?
Yeah.
Because they would do it immediately.
Sure. Of course. Yeah, and for Goodell, here's the other thing with him. Understand that in the owners, the 18 games, that's found money. Because that wasn't in the previous contract. So that's found money. That's a whole other day of television shows. Hell, that could be a whole other Saturday of television shows, a Sunday of television shows, a Monday of television shows, a Thursday of television shows that you're now selling to partners.
Well, then you get 19
games. So they'll crush
games.
All of that. There's got to be a stop at some point.
Play your round. Does there?
I would say that the one win of this would be President's Day weekend off. That's as big a win. You know, the gross majority of you will be off on Monday. And that's one of the things we've always lamented, like the fact, although the Super Bowl isn't as big a deal to me because it always starts at 6 o'clock.
Even from an Eastern time zone. Yeah.
It's not as bad as the 8:30 kicks on the college football side of things. Like they do have that part figured out. But it would be nice. people have long lamented like Monday after Super Bowl off, and that would get that done. I just don't know that getting it done to play 18 games is a necessity on it. So we'll see. But that's where they're headed. Whatever we think about it's irrelevant. Whatever the NFLPA thinks about it is irrelevant. Goodell's going to 18. The owners want to go to 18. They'll do it sooner rather than later. Reese, I don't think there's any chance it waits till 2030. I don't think there's any chance. I think it happens the next 2 or 3 years. They'll get it done.
Well, because we're not lazy. We'll be here that next day.
We will be. So. Yeah. We'll get Nate Davis's thoughts on that in the NFL draft weekend coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here. And the playoff action is here. And there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year. The playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
NFL draft over the weekend. Big numbers from a rating standpoint. Well over 11 million on all platforms on Thursday, annihilating the NBA and certain NHL way, way, way in the distant. For perspective on which teams won and lost, we head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest, Totlander, good buddy Nate Davis, NFL writer at USA Today. Nate, thanks so much for taking the time. This is your headline. I love it. My favorite headline of the weekend. You're completely premature NFL draft grades for all 32 teams whose halls are also ranked. So in the completely premature world, who won, who lost?
Yeah, we got to give the people what they want, Bo. You understand this?
Yes, I do.
I had the Bears and the Steelers winning on the draft. I guess you call them grades. I gave them both A pluses. Pretty obvious for the Bears. Little bit of luck, a little bit of opportunity. Sometimes you make that, but trading that number one last year turns into Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. You know, they look like they're ready to go, probably as well as any team drafting number one ever has. And then, I try to be a little lenient on these. I kind of found that apparently I'm still more tougher professor than most, because you don't want to be critical. You don't want to be critical. A lot of these young guys come into the league. I mean, you know, it's an exciting time for them. They have a chance to prove themselves. I have less of an issue being critical of the teams, but I had the Titans, the Browns, the Falcons, the Cowboys, all at the bottom with my D's.
You mentioned the Browns and the low grade there. How much do you factor in just not having a first round pick into that grade, or did you just not like what they did?
Yeah. So one thing I try to do with the grades is I try to look at it big picture. And to me, mm-hmm. part of this Browns grade to me is Deshaun Watson. That's where the first rounder was spent. Hasn't worked out yet. We'll see if it does. So obviously, more goes into how you want to feel about that move. Football wise, off the field, you know, with the Cleveland fans, et cetera. But put that aside. You know, I mean, I tend to think in the second, third rounds, you want to get guys that can play right away and will be, you know, reliable starters for you. To me, Michael Hall is more of a might work out great, might not work out at all. So we'll see, and then. Third round pick on Zach Zinner. I mean, good player. Not ready to play. Don't need him to play because, I mean, Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller are there. But it kind of felt to me like, you know, given the lack of draft capital they had, I'm not really sure they added much to help them in a division where you know, there's really no margin for error.
Zero margin for error. Let's stay in the division down in Cincinnati. They had needs on the offensive line. They addressed it in round one. What did you make of what the Bengals did throughout their draft?
Yeah, I think the Bengals did. You know, I don't think the Bengals get enough credit for drafting ahead of their needs and kind of having guys ready to go when free agents leave. I don't know that Amarius Mims is immediately ready to play, but he doesn't have to be with Trent Brown there. Kind of the same thing with Chris Jenkins, kind of the same thing with Jermaine Burton. Tyler Boyd is unsigned. T. Higgins has obviously made his feelings announced. Jermaine Burton was a very productive receiver for Alabama with more room to grow. But again, you kind of got your bases covered. I gave the Bengals a B. Like, it doesn't
doesn't necessarily excite you as a draft, although Marius Mims could be a very good player. But I like the fact they took him here without, you know, really having to use him right away if they don't want to.
The situation that the Bears find themselves in, a guy that was near and dear to our heart, Justin Fields, is kind of a byproduct of that, right? His drafting, his tenure put them in the position where they would be able to draft multiple times. And then they struck while the iron was hot last year with Carolina and turned that into what it did. Just in terms of how expertly they've navigated this, Nate, this has always been one of the most beloved franchises in the league, but they haven't had this type of run of smarts in a while. You talk about the situation Caleb Williams is in. It's about as good as any quarterback as a rookie coming in since when?
Yeah, like I said, I don't remember a team drafting number one that's kind of been this ready to win, and you're plugging a rookie quarterback into a supporting cast where he's got everything he needs. We kind of hit on it earlier. I mean, they did, you know, there's a certain amount of luck. You don't know the trade sure. Number one pick. Line is going to get you the number one pick next year. There's a certain amount of a calculated gamble there. The flip side of that, we saw the Bears give up a second rounder a couple of years ago for Chase Claypool that blew up in their face, and that turned out to be like a top 36 pick. They did the right thing last year by doing the same thing for Montez Sweat. It looks like he's going to be a great player there, but I give them credit, and I think it's important to remember that this regime is not the one that drafted Justin Fields. This regime isn't the one that did the opposite to Justin Fields, where they threw him into a situation where he had to carry the whole thing and wasn't ready for it. I thought that they did actually, as little as they got back from the Steelers, that's where he wanted to go, and I kind of tip of the cap for them for sending the guy where he wants to go as opposed to holding him out for, you know, a pick that was two rounds higher. But, Ryan Poles comes from the Chiefs. And I think, right now it's looking like some of that pixie dust rubbed off. But certainly it looks like he got raised in the right place. And, the Bears have been star-crossed for a long time. They might be ready here to finally, do some damage.
Six quarterbacks all told in the first round of it. When you think about Daniels, May, Penix, McCarthy, Nix, which one outside of Williams is in the best spot?
Well, you probably have to say McCarthy. I think you look at this player that come out from the NFLPA after the Super Bowl, and Kevin O'Connell is a highly regarded guy. Vikings are a highly regarded organization by players in terms of infrastructure, facility, all that stuff. But, I mean, Kevin O'Connell could coach football. I mean, Kirk Cousins was probably having his best season before he got hurt last year. Maybe they're not quite the Bears, but pardon me, but I mean, good offensive line, but Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and doesn't have to play right away. That's a pretty good situation for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Also with O'Connell there, like the offense they're going to run ought to fit J.J. very well. We've gone this far into this without talking about what Atlanta did. What did you make of the Penix pick and the thought process behind it?
I get that you need depth in a league where 70 guys or 68 guys started a quarterback last year, but I just don't think they went about it the right way. I mean, I don't get giving out a $100 million guarantee in March and then taking a guy with the 8th pick in April, when really, to me, you ought to be building up that roster to win around the guy that you just played and get a quarterback. Take Spencer Rattler later or whatever, if you want depth or guys to develop. But and I just didn't like the way that it seemed like it was handled. I mean, if Penix was your guy, you probably knew a month ago that you were going to get him at 8. So why not let Kirk Cousins know rather than blindside him? And then they say there's not going to be a quarterback controversy there. I mean, there already is. Like people
right.
See Michael Penix. People are going to see Michael Penix throw in training camp. They're going to see the athleticism, and they're going to go, wow. And he's going to look much better in a practice setting, and we're all kind of in the preseason than Kirk Cousins will. And I think it's just going to probably snowball from there. So I hated it. I get it. What they said, they're not going to be back in the spot or whatever, but you don't know. And somebody made the point, like, would you rather have sustained success for years, like the Packers have, or would you rather, if you were the Packers, have gone and gotten Jordan Jefferson or Justin Jefferson instead of Jordan Love in 2020 and maybe had that second or third Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. So that's kind of where I am on it.
Well, the damnedest thing, too, that people, I mean, Cousins isn't full go to participate yet. So in minicamp, it's going to be all Penix next month. He's going to get all of that.
Yeah, I mean, and they've got Taylor Heinicke, who's not
right.
as far as QB2s go in this league. So
it's wild.
I just didn't get it from a logic standpoint.
No, I didn't either. Nate, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate your time.
All right, Bo, good talking to you.
All right, that's Nate Davis, NFL USA Today writer. Read his stuff, usatoday.com. Good stuff on his draft grades, and I think he's dealing with the same allergies I am, is what it seems like, that the pollen is getting us all.
It was actually a little bit hit and go with him today, that we weren't sure if his voice was going to hold up. He said that to me when I reached out to him to be on. So
yeah.
I'm glad he got through it.
He did. But this is, I just got a text from my wife that Bootsy's on the fringe at school with his, that he may have to come home. And I'm like, knowing him, the fringe is quite large.
The black lung
it's
pop.
Big fridge. It's a big fringe for that kid. We hit three things on a Monday up next. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Producers, co-hosts, friends, some of those things are true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese, what do you have on the poll?
Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's poll asks, what will be the result of the Cavs Magic playoff series that is currently tied at 2 games apiece? You're looking at game 5 tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. That'll be in Cleveland. Right now, to the fan poll sponsored by ER Auto Care, 42% of respondents say the Cavs are winning in 7, 21% say Magic in 6, 20% say Cavs in 6, 15% say Magic in 7. Whatever.
It's going to be a wild summer. Either way, whether they keep it all together or not, like, and my hunch is they won't, but like, certainly JB will be gone, but like, do you deal Mitchell now to try to net some sort of return for him? You gave up a lot to get him. Do you do that? And then what does that look like going forward? This is going to be, and by the way, not just for them, but like the Lakers situation, once they're eliminated by Denver, the situation in Phoenix, we've talked, the Chops you mentioned earlier in the show, the super team era is done. And so you just can't do it these days. You have to draft right. You have to sign your own guys, or it's just almost impossible. And the teams at the top of the sport right now have done that. They've hit on their picks, and those are the ones that are kind of the king of the sport at the moment. All right, time for three things on a Monday. Hit it.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air, Custom Solutions, Custom Comfort.
All right, number one for me. So, Beamsy had lacrosse at 3:30. More on that in a second. And then afterwards, NBC was like, "Dad, can we go play golf?" And the others were going to go to a friend's pool. So I thought, "Well, that's fine. You guys go to the pool, and we'll go play golf." So we go play golf. We get done, and back here at the homestead, and we're eating, and everything's good. And I go to take the garbage out, and earlier in the morning, me and my wife cleaned the garage. They were supposed to help, but I noticed that every time they weren't given a specific task, they would just disappear. So that was mostly just us. And so the garage had been cleaned, and as I went out to take the garbage out, snake in the garage.
Ooh.
Now, I was a little guy, not too big. I would say probably, I don't know, maybe 2 feet, less than 2 feet, 18 inches, somewhere in there. And so it was a little guy, young one. I don't think that we have venomous snakes in Ohio. I don't think. He didn't look like a rattlesnake to me. I don't think we even have those. So I was like, I think we're good there. He was black with some striping on him. So I brought NBC out. He's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, he's like, are you going to kill it? And I'm like, I don't want to. It's not his fault he's in the wrong place. Now, at the same time, I don't need him coming back. So I got him pinned, and I got him on a shovel. And I took him, and he's like, I can't believe you're not going to kill him. Mom would be so mad. I'm like, your mom's not going to want me killing an animal. I'm telling you that. So I just threw him deep into the woods. My thinking on that is nature versus nurture. If he makes it, God bless. It was meant to be. If not, he's going to be food for Hank the Hawk, and that's the way that'll work out.
I think he made the right choice there.
And, yeah. Let him sort his own, give him his own fate.
You were talking about your garage. Well, my garage, after, I don't know, 18 months or so of kind of conceptualizing this and putting it together, but I finally got everything that I wanted done. I had some friends over to celebrate the birthday and kind of unveiling the garage in its full form here. But one of the cooler highlights of it all, J-Lo got me this sign for my birthday that it's not like the old school, like glass tube neon. It's like LED type lights, but it looks like old school neon signs. And so in like a script, it says Chops Tavern. And so that's on the back wall there in the garage. So, yeah, very excited about that. And the party was a great success.
That's a win.
We can take some time, a little bit more time, to laugh at the Phoenix Suns on Monday. Sam Amico, who publishes HoopsWire, has a report that basically calls the Suns organization under Matt Ishbia a circus. Quote, it's like Looney Tunes around here, a source told HoopsWire. It's felt unstable since he arrived. He's a good guy and everything, but he's just very involved, too involved. No, he played college basketball, but I'd venture to say he has no idea what he's doing when it comes to basketball, yet he's making a lot of big decisions. End quote.
So somehow they end up worse off than Sarver, who was one of the five worst owners of the last 20 years.
He goes on to compare it to the Cavs ownership under Dan Gilbert of the early 2000s.
Well, they're both Michigan State. Look, you're a billionaire. You got all this stuff. How many times are you wrong on things, right? So now all of a sudden you're wrong, and it's like, can't be me. I get everything right. I'm a billionaire. Number two for me. So at Beamsy's lacrosse game, Bootsy just disappeared. We couldn't find him, and was looking around, and the game's going on. It's a safe place, so nothing to really worry about. I look in the distance. My guy is sitting on what is it? I believe it's like a football, one of those things that linemen have to go under to hit a sled, you know? Like those steel
the
things
chutes.
That you gotta, the chutes, yeah. So he's sitting on a chute with four little girls with his hat backwards. Just never stop trolling, baby. Sunday fun day. Out there chasing some chicks.
And this was
I'll post the picture.
This was after his injury?
After the lacrosse game.
After the punch?
After the injury. Yeah. So he clearly was more than fine. Yeah. More than fine and thrived and back to doing what he's best at, which is trolling for chicks.
Speaking of possible injuries, one thing that did happen, and I knew this would happen, so I raised the hoop back up. It was still at that like 8.5 or whatever I had it at when I was dunking after Caitlin Clark lost the national championship a few weeks ago. But I was like, I know that if there's a bunch of guys over, like eventually somebody's going to want to shoot the basketball. So I put it back up, and that did happen. People wanted to do it, in which point two of my friends, who are always like going back and forth with each other about which one is better at basketball, even though one played on the national champion OSU club team throughout college, and the other one didn't. So I think I know it's going to go, but they'll never play. And they're like, fine, we'll play. It lasted one play. One of the guys kind of shoved them. It was a foul, but then he was like, oh, my ankle's not feeling good. I'm not going to go anymore. He's like, this is ridiculous. And so that was a lot of fun. And then I was like, wait, we can go to the film to see if it was a foul, because I got a camera in the back for the dog and stuff that'll go off when it senses that our people are there. So I go back to it. No, something must have happened. They must have been out of frame at just the right time, because there is literally the start of that play and then the aftermath with one of my friends on the ground, like holding his ankle, but there's not the footage of the middle of it. So we may never know. LeBron's right. What's the point of having a video department if you never can look at anything?
That's true. Yeah.
So July 20th on Netflix, Jake Paul is going to fight Mike Tyson. It's official, a sanctioned heavyweight professional fight by the state of Texas, by their state's athletic commission. Me 8 2-minute rounds with 14-ounce gloves. The outcome will reflect on their pro records. So Tyson back for this is can't call this an exhibition, despite it being an exhibition.
Well, yeah, his effort will determine how we define it. I think
could a man die on Netflix live on July 20th? Tune in to find out.
Get your subscription now. Number three for me, I've come to the conclusion that when it comes to food trucks, I'm almost always for them. But I also feel like this might be the biggest discrepancy in my inability to land the plane at home versus how well they do it. I think it's the taco. I think a street truck, a food truck taco is almost always undefeated. I had them for lunch up in Sandusky. There was a food truck up there on Saturday for the lacrosse thing. Spectacular. And I feel like any time that I see a food truck with tacos, they crush it. And I can never duplicate it at home. I can't get it quite right.
Speaking of tacos, I thought I had tried all the possible combos at Taco Bell, but Cleveland proved me wrong. But this one was about a week ago, but I just saw it at the tail end of last week. Did you guys see this? There was some sort of punk rock show in a Taco Bell parking lot up in the Cleveland area a week ago. And to me, that seems like a perfect combination. Get a chalupa, wrap it in like a leather studded bracelet. Boom, bring that right out there. Or you could do something that reportedly somebody actually did. There was a tattoo artist there and somebody got Baja Bless tattooed on their face. Pretty punk rock.
That is.
That'll be a fun story you get to tell, like, every year forever.
Yeah.
The Baja Blessed. So Zeke passed his physical this morning. He's going to be going back to the Cowboys.
Good.
That's, you know, for whatever that's worth. The NFL, just to go back on kind of our discussion about over-under win totals for NFL teams, it looks like the second Thursday in May is when they're going to be releasing the schedule, just going off of what they've been doing the past couple of years. I know they always make like a huge deal of their schedule release in the weeks leading up to it, but nothing's been official thus far. And just again, by using the calendar, that looks Thursday, May 9th.
There you go. All right. Rothman and Ice are up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Coming out of the NFL draft, the Browns have the 15th best odds to win the Super Bowl at 40-1. To make the playoffs this season, the Browns are plus 152. To miss is the favorite at minus 188. The current Browns season win total is 8.5 wins, and the Cleveland Browns have the third best odds to win the AFC North at 5-1. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The transfer portal closes tomorrow night at midnight, but that didn't keep the Buckeye football team from losing another player to it yesterday, as safety Jihad Carter announced that he has entered after just one season as a Buckeye. Carter was a three-year starter at Syracuse before transferring to Ohio State. Who says you can't go home? Running back Ezekiel Elliott has agreed to a one-year deal to return to the Dallas Cowboys. The deal is a $3 million deal with $2 million guaranteed. The Reds start a series in San Diego tonight against the Padres at 9:40. Nick Lodolo gets the ball for Cincy. Three games in the NBA playoffs tonight as Miami hosts Boston at 7:30. New Orleans takes on Oklahoma City at 8:30. And Denver hosts the Lakers at 10. In the NHL, Florida looks to eliminate Tampa at 7. And Vegas hosts Dallas at 9:30. This one's sponsored by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800.